Keith have been one of the most notorious ones about its affairs, and even where the country's laws have been broken, governments are told that they need not do anything and that it is a natural FIFA. So we disagree with that notion, and the intention really is to strengthen the laws of the country, particularly governing this sector. And the National Sport and Recreation Act is such too. So the amendments will bring them through to the committee and to Parliament, requesting that the committee support us to approve that. Secondly, the Safety of Sports and Recreation Events Act. This act, Chair, is a result of the disaster that happened at Ellis Park in 1998, if you can recall. And the law has had its success, we can say so, since its implementation. There's not been any major disasters or anything in relation to the management of sports events. But it has also had unintended consequences, and we would want to bring also one amendment to it, which is an amendment to bring exceptions to applications. And the reason for this is that this law is heavily impacting on community sports. And now people who used to do rural tournaments and organize children over short holidays and so on are finding it difficult to comply with the terms of this law. And we are now requesting that in certain exceptional circumstances that we be allowed to waive some of the requirements in respect of this, including the payment of a deposit to the police, because if the deposit is 20,000, many rural communities would not be able to support. So the law has in some instances had unintended consequences and would want to address that. The other law governing our sector, particularly, were two public entities. First is the South African Institute for Rugby Sport Act, which essentially establishes the Rugby Institute. And we are bringing also an amendment to this law to the committee in this session. The only amendment we are bringing to that law is in respect to the power of the institute to really test children in schools. And this we say so because of the high incidence of drug abuse as well as steroids and other performance-enhancing substances utilized by children as young as those in high schools and so on. So, right now, the issue is that the schools or the school governing body may want to opt in, and only after opting into the system can the drug-free institute test. And we've had a lot of litigation in this respect, and to protect the institute and to allow it to do its work, because we invest millions of funds in the development of athletes at young level. And the last thing you want is that you can't use those athletes because they have a record of doping. So for that reason, we want to test and begin testing much more earlier. And we will then strengthen the power of the institute to test at random. It will never be able to test all children, but it will be able to test them. Lastly, the South African Boxing Act. This one, we are bringing a repeal bill. Completely will eradicate that act and do away with it and repeal it. In its place, we'll put the SA Combat Sport Bill that will regulate not just boxing but all combat sports. And some sports are even more dangerous than boxing, including kickboxing and even something they call cage fighting and so on. So we want to regulate all of these types of sports, even some of them that are currently outside the loop of the law, including the traditional youth fighting in Limpopo in the north. Where they beat up each other, and even when you're bleeding, they do not stop the fight. The only way to stop the fight is if you can't stand up anymore. So we have to regulate all of these things and ensure that they are properly done. And so boxing will still be one of the sports regulated under the UB. So the other laws we also comply with are those under this. I will not go into detail about all of them, but I'll only touch on one, which is the Intergovernmental Relations Framework Act, which is an important law together with the Division of Revenue Act, because almost half of our budget is transferred to provinces. And over the past decades, we have sought to really regulate how we work with the provinces, and we've introduced a new grant framework. in this regard. So when we look at the strategic influences to our strategic plan as well as the annual performance plan, we play an important role internationally. And in this regard, South Africa has become dominant force in sports administration globally now. And we are continuing to play a critical role in a number of nations. At the highest level in the United Nations, we are now, our deputy minister is the chairperson of the Conference of Parties on Sports Development, and we coordinate the international body where a total of 32 countries have ratified the program of action of this body, and we continue to lead it, and it's being coordinated now. And as we speak, even now the deputy minister is in Paris for the same. With UNESCO, we also have a special working group of the Secretary General on UNESCO on the on sports for peace and development. Again, South Africa has this committee, and we have been chairing it now ever since its establishment, and we have already been re-elected twice to the position of chair. And our program of action, which we set here in South Africa, is what is governing and directing the work of sports for peace and development across the world. And we have also implemented extensively some of the channels of this. We worked with Burundi in the post-reconstruction program, using sports as a catalyst for rebuilding the country and for development there. Then there is the World Anti-Doping Agency. Up until the last meeting, when is it? November. Up until the last meeting in November, this will be our last meeting as the coordinator of Africa and the representative of Africa on WADA. Since the inception of WADA, South Africa has been a representative of the African continent on the WADA executive, and we have also been coordinating the African Foundation board in this regard. The WADA is a World Anti-Doping Agency, and the South African Institute of Rugby Sports is a recognized institute by WADA and a member of WADA in this regard, and an important one. We hosted the WADA conference last year, and the institute was the host institute. And together with other anti-doping agencies, we play an important role in the region. Right now, we are an important funder. We contribute about 60% of all the resources of the regional anti-doping agency. And the Bloemfontein laboratory that does testing is the only accredited laboratory on the entire African continent. So it's only one, only our laboratory that is testing for all of this. Again, we are a member of a loose governance arrangement called IADA, and we are currently the chair of this international anti-doping arrangement. Well, we have been nominated often.
Honourable members, when I'm listening, they are sharing everything in South Africa. I don't know whether their hands are not full. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We take IADA. We'll share it up until November. It's a high-level government engagement forum where we share best practices and work together to fight major cases of anti-doping in the world. And so we share exchange materials around this and all of this. We also be that to now host the IADA offices, and that the institute play an important role in this regard. And we are also an active member. And our institute is a member of INADO, which is the International National Anti-Doping Agencies. And so we do a lot of work in this regard. So now, on the continent, we have been on the course to change the so-called the Supreme Council of Sport in Africa. And in region sport development, region 5 of the African Union Sports Council, we are the current Secretary General of the region, and we are represented by Mbusondele as the Secretary General of the region in this regard, and we contribute about 90% of the resources to run the regions, including the regional games, which will also be hosted by Zimbabwe this year. Now, having said that, we also play an important role. We have been the chair of CAMS, which is the Conference of African Ministers of Sport, for 3 terms, and now we have relinquished the chair, at least on that front, and we are no longer playing a key role there. But of importance is that also the international front, our sports federations in general, on the African continent, we are quite dominant from a leadership point of view. The swimming federation in the African continent has consistently been chaired by us. So is on a number of sporting coasts. And of importance is that the president of SASCOC, Gideon Tem, is also the chair or the vice or the deputy president of the Commonwealth Games Association. And to that extent, we are looking forward to the future where we will most likely take the presidency as well on this body. And in the South African government, we are guided actually, and we are in process relating to the National Development Plan. And you will see as I present that we have strengthened this path. And also our influences are quite strong in as far as the medium-term strategic framework and how we have incorporated government-wide planning into what we are doing. Additionally, we have a white paper on sport and recreation, which remains our official policy. We have reviewed this white paper in 2012, and we think that on a political point of view of how we govern sport and recreation in South Africa, we are on the right track. What we never had ever since 1958 was a national sports plan. The last sports plan was adopted by the Ghana apartheid government. Approved a plan after the Nationalist Party took over in 1948. Approved a plan in which a white child was to be funded 8 times and a black child in sport. And in it, the plan had special objectives. One of them was to prioritize codes, and 2 codes were prioritized. And later, athletics was added. It was rugby and cricket, and athletics was later added as a priority. So the plan prioritized military codes, and ever since then, we can say that the plan succeeded a whole lot, because among others, the plan sought to prove that the Afrikaner was a superior race, and that he was a freak of nature, so to say, that he could beat up everybody in the world, and he was the best that is available. And to that extent, since the adoption of the plan and the funding, South Africa had been consistently dominant in both rugby and cricket, and we continue to experience that legacy even today of that plan. And we have also had a number of athletes who came up to world podiums until South Africa, the Casanova Boycott, and it was expelled from international front. But you can say that that plan left wonders for what it was intended to achieve. However, the democratic government since 1994 never had a plan to reverse this legacy. And we adopted this plan in November 2011, and the cabinet approved it on 18 May 2012. And since then, we are now in year 2 of implementation of the National Sport and Recreation Plan. I must say that while cabinet has approved this plan, it remains an unfunded mandate. Our budget has consistently been about 880 million a year, and of this, 525 goes to provinces as a conditional grant, and a further 210 is then given to sport federations and SASCOC as a transfer. Then we remain with about 90 million. Must pay rent, everything, all the work salaries and the works from all of this, and deliver on this. So while the plan has been approved, cabinet has not given us any new resources. In fact, we have received an allocation letter which indicates a consistent cutback on the budget. Our budget is being cut back by 1% at least for the next 3 years. And we are year one of that cutback. So this is the first financial year where they have cut back the money. These are the devastating effects on funding of the plan, as well as on the sport operations and the ability to work. So, above that, Chair, let's move to the next slide. So, all of these things, Chair, feed into the white paper, the roadmap on sport excellence, as well as the National Sport Integration Plan, feed into our 5-year strategic plan, and then our annual performance plan. I will now go into a bit of detail on the APP. the NDP vision for sport is there. It actually allocates 9 important pointers, which sport and recreation at the department must seek to drive and society must look towards. But of importance is that it highlights that we have to be realistic about our sporting results. We are a developing country that judges itself by standards of developed countries. In fact, all the time we judge our performance against Australia, against New Zealand, against the United States, the UK, and so on. And we hardly ever judge ourselves against Nigeria, against Kenya, Brazil, and so on. Because those are countries with comparable GDPs, and those are countries with comparable levels of development, and they have similar challenges. So perhaps our yardstick and measure is too high for a developing country with such huge disparities, and just the South African public expect no less. They want better results, and they believe when we play England in football, we must win, and they expect that. Perhaps there are things that are realistic, but the NDP says we must measure ourselves against countries of a similar nature with similar population sizes. And again, we are looking at participation that approximate demographics. This, the NDP has agreed to. It is a matter that some riding organizations or that organizations that are single issue based and some which have specific interest groups have threatened to take us to court about that. We have the opinion that yes, the issue of demographic representation is important. You simply cannot have a country where 87% of under 18s are actually African youth, and yet you do not see them in any of the junior teams. This in itself is not an issue of racism or anything. It is an issue of sustainability because the world population is shrinking. If you look at the report of the HSRC and Lancet report as well, come to realize that it is shrinking at a faster rate. There was a time it was shrinking in the first 10 years of progress at 4%. Now it's shrinking at 18%. So there will simply be no huge talent pool for the future teams. And we are now coming to the end of that cycle. And we need to start taking in the bigger talent base and talent pool in South Africa to become successful. And there's no race except this many young people that you see who are black. Now the NDP encourages that corporate investments in grassroots sports should take place. And it also encourages communities to organize for team events, leagues and championships. And I guess this is where NALGA comes in. Of importance is the issue of what the NDP proposes much more succinctly, that we should have every Saturday of the month and a Sunday. We should have the communities must do like community leagues, open days and open sports days, as well as people could jog, run and so on. All of this are the NDP encourages. But of importance, it places the issue of facilities, the provision of adequate sport facilities at the center of success. Particularly, you have to link this with the last point of sharing public spaces and common experiences. The NDP's vision is believes that the more races in our country interact, the better for social cohesion. And the NDP is of the opinion that when we share public spaces, many of the stereotypes we have about each other could then fall away. And the NDP believes that we can only do so if people openly share spaces on a cultural basis, as well as on a sporting and recreation basis. They can jog together, they can do things together. Again, our plan put all those pillars which you see the National Sport and Education Plan. That is the so-called active nation. Our three mandate constitutionally and in terms of the law is an active and a winning nation. An active nation recognizes that we should get as many South Africans as possible to participate in sport. Not that everybody is talented. In fact, international research indicates that talented sports persons in any society are between 4 to 6%. About it. The other people are talented in other things. They may be good dancers or good musicians, but they're not necessarily talented for things or veterans. And so the issue is your ability to identify a 5% who's talented. It's like searching for a needle in a haystack. So you have to put systems in place. So you cannot be able to tap into that unless you allow more and more children to participate. So as long as majority of the population is locked outside of the participation platforms, then you have a dilemma of how do you see and how do you identify talent. Second part is what we have, over the last 8 years, we have consistently been focused on, which is a winning nation. And that is what all South Africans are really concerned about, whether we are winning medals and we are winning tournaments and we are winning cups and every other thing and so on. This now speaks to high performance and speaks largely to the work that SASCOM does to our national teams and the presentation of national team South Africa and its performance on an international stage. Again, we have identified that we need an enabling environment in which sports can flourish. Right now, the environment has not been okay. We have been using the last 2 years to really try and address the environment to make it work. And we have also recognized that there are transversal issues which are a problem to the issue of sport and recreation. Some of it is structural, and some of it is in how our country is structured, what the constitution gives as a mandate to the different tiers in as far as sport is a transversal function across all three spheres. Lastly, the issue of sport as a tool. This is more so potent in our country than in other countries, and the expectation for our department to fulfill this obligation is huge, because our minister signs a contract with the president, government agreement, and last term it was on a Comdolf B, which was on social cohesion. Right now, social cohesion has been elevated and has been given its own outcome, outcome 14. So we are signatories to outcome 14, which say that we must use sport as a tool to promote unity, reconciliation, nation building, and social cohesion. So in our country, sport is this important tool that unites our people, owing to the history of our country. And in other countries, this matter is not emphasized at all. Sport is purely for people to enjoy. In our country, it's much more politically important to take the country forward. And the lessons learned from the FIFA 2010 World Cup are essentially very important in this regard. And we also see this in school sport among children, so-called born fees. You see this also as an important to unify our country. Our vision is an active and winning nation, which succinctly in summary covers our three mandates. And our mission really currently is to transform the delivery of sport and recreation by ensuring equitable access. To emphasize this point, many people believe that our biggest challenge facing sport in our country today is money. We disagree. We do not think that, yes, it is a problem, but it is not the biggest problem. Because if we were to use the Olympics as a measure, on a run-for-run basis, what we invest as a country, both private, both public, and what families and individuals invest for themselves to participate, and you compare it with other countries like Jamaica, Kenya, and so on what we have seen, our returns are quite weak. It shows that we are underperforming because we are trying to be everything to everyone. And I think we can only now be happy that SASCOM has begun to tighten the thing. If we're not going to be able to continue funding Cinderella sports or sports that are not of priority to the country on an equal basis, we have to fund all sports, yes, equitably, but not evenly. We must prioritize schools and agree that we have prioritized schools. And so things like small sports are not really our priority right now. We do not have a rich history of winter games and of all of this. So things like figure skating and all of these things that we have been putting money in, we have to seriously review, because we simply do not have the resources to spread them too thinly. And that is why our performance on the international stage is so weak. Countries that do better in Kenya simply don't say even just athletics, they are spending. They say long distance running, and they put their money in that. They develop athletes on all of that. And you can see their dominance in the world stage. And so, but because the children who play this, what we call Cinderella codes, they've got very powerful times and very powerful mothers and fathers who take up court and who do all sorts of things. We have amended the web paper on sport and creation, our policy, and it now explains clearly that we fund efficiently but not equally. It can be. So we believe that the biggest challenge is not money, but it is access. And we think that some sport federations are putting an artificial glass ceiling to prevent many black people from having the opportunity to participate. And this you see more so in sports like rugby, where even in how they are structured. FASCOC has given them up until December to align to the new geopolitical boundaries. But you know, they still are classed differently. They call themselves, take for instance the Blue Bulls. They are called the Northern Bulls, but they are for North Gauteng or Pretoria Basin. And they cover Mpumalanga and they also cover Limpopo. But in essence, you know, they never do any work in Mpumalanga or in Limpopo. They don't have coaching clinics, they do not do anything. There's even an issue of conflict of interest and of governance. If you consider the Free State Cheetahs, the Free State Rugby Union, as an example. 80% of the board members of the Cheetahs are also members of the Free State Rugby Union. That can be, because it's tantamount to a union club governing itself. And as if that is not enough, you also have a situation where they only guarantee one freshers. So, which means that if the Free State Cheetahs for that year has only money to intern for players, it will not matter where in the whole of the Free State there are 80 talented rugby players. Those rugby players will never play Tari Cup or Super Rugby or any of that, because there's this glass ceiling to what can be done. How come the rugby union does not recognize a new franchise which can compete with the Cheetahs and so on? So we are insisting on that change. And so we think that it is measures like this which block access to participation. And we want to liberalize all of that so that there is equitable access, there is development and excellence at all participation levels. And therefore, in doing so, we are convinced that we will achieve social cohesion, nation building, and the quality of life of all South Africans is important. The reason we emphasize all of this is that in participation, not everyone is talented, as I said, but when everybody participates, then we have a much more healthier nation. Currently, our government spends so much on health, but yet our health outcomes are very poor. Each year, the health budget is being increased and significantly, and the sport budget is being cut backwards. But we're simply trying to treat symptoms. We are not at the root cause of why it is this. And again, if you look at the World Health Organization, Annex 17, which is with South Africa, and you consider what it says, you see that it says that the burden of morbidity of disease in our country is driven by the so-called lifestyle diseases. This speaks to hypertension, this speaks to obesity, it speaks to high blood pressure and all of this. And that's the medication for these things, diabetes and so on. It's much more costly than if you invested in sport and recreation. Chair, during apartheid, honestly, let's be fair to the apartheid teachers. There were no facilities. But I remember when I was in school, they used to make us do for jumps and squats and every other thing. And they used to also do playground games, and each one of these little games, Skimela and this DFOC and so on, all of them came with some little song, and we used to sing and do all these activities. But there were no facilities, but there were no obese children. We were fit and healthy, and we were much a healthier nation. And there shouldn't be really an excuse. So the more healthier the nation is and the more active it is, the lesser the need for this lifestyle diseases. If you are healthier, there will be no deficit, there will be no hypertension. So we need to get children out onto the field. And it is for that reason that we think that, honestly, I'll make this bold statement, that the health budget must be cut backwards in favor of the sport budget. Because if we do not do that, we will continuously have poor health outcomes with no tomorrow, because it's simply not sustainable to try and treat this health lifestyle diseases unless you get children into the sport. In this regard, one of our major strategic goals in terms of the strategic plan is citizen access to sport and recreation activities. And in this regard, we have committed to the MTSF of government, the Media Transparency Framework, that will have an annual increase of 5% in participation of citizens in selected activities. We have already begun this. We are encouraging people to walk, and October is World Walking Month, declared by NASA, which Sam Ramsey is now coordinating. It's one of the committees of the IOC we are coordinating internationally. And in this regard, we will, from this year, as far as run a survey to determine how many South Africans are participating and use that as a baseline. Over the next 5 years, we'll seek to increase the levels of participation through a healthy sport campaign to increase the levels by 5%. If we succeed, 25%, most South Africans would have been participating in active lifestyle activities over the next 5 years. Strategic goal number two speaks to sport and recreation sector being adequately transformed. Chair, here we are not apologetic about this. The sport and recreation in Kava declared that the minister will appoint the transformation commission. This commission has been appointed. It's chaired by Dr. Soma Donald-Kenny and has a highly respectable men and women in our society who serve on this. Some who have great experience in sport. And the committee, and we call it in a nice name, the Eminent Person Group on Sports Transformation. And they administer the two tools that we have. The first one being the Transformation Charter, which all federations have now signed up to. And the second one being the Transformation Scorecard. On an annual basis, we at SASCO issue a barometer, a transformation barometer to measure levels of transformation. We ran a pilot with 5 codes, the so-called the B5, football, athletics, netball, cricket, and rugby. And it appeared from that baseline study that we did that federations have not met the targets that were set and were agreed about in 1994. So we have now agreed that we will revise the targets and sign agreement with each and every one of these federations. We are now in round 2. We have added 11 more codes. We have 60 now that we're measuring. And we will continuously measure them on an annual basis and set new targets for them to make sure that the transformation is achieved. We have moved away from the issue of quotas, of simply counting the number of black players on the field. We have now a multi-dimensional scorecard with 7 dimensions. It measures the holistic picture of a federation. How well is it governed? How well does it use the money? And we also do not just look at players. We also look at how many coaches do you have and give us their demographics and how many are women, how many are disabled, how many referees do you have, and on the international front, how many officials are in international posts. All of those things we use to measure the totality of a federation to determine whether it's transformed or not. And therefore, we are no longer simply changing the number of players on the field. We look at the totality of the picture. And it became clear from the pilot that the federations are well apart from where we want them to be. And we have agreed that we will then introduce measures for those that refuse to move. We do have incentives, Chair. Those that do well, they are funded better. Let me put it that way. So we use funding as a key tool to increase compliance with the charter. And so we have the new grant framework to fund federations, which is a 2-tier framework. The so-called guaranteed tier, which is about 10% of your annual budget. That one you get irrespective of, because we didn't want the policy to have unintended consequences, because about 90% of the sport federations are totally dependent on what we give them. Without the allocation, we give them those simple clubs. So that's why we guarantee the money for them, 100% for administration and other things. But then the 90% is linked to the dimensions of the scorecard. So if you do fill the representative team, you will get more points, and with more points, you get more money. It's simple as that. But if you simply choose to comply with the scorecard, you get little money or no money at all. And those that like the first casualty was Hafa. Last year, they lost 3.8 million from us for non-compliance and resubmission of the data sheet and so on. So the rest of the other federations are clean off. They are submitting, they are complying. It is the data that we analyze. We have decided that we must encourage a customer compliance. And we believe that by the end of 5 years, 80% of the recognized national federations should be meeting their transformation targets. That's our objective in goal 2. Next. In goal 3, we look at athletes achieving international success. Again, in line with the NDP, we're looking at the maintenance of our weld regimes, particularly the key codes, such as 135, and also the high performance intervention. We will continue to support Ascoke and to fund it to ensure that the Bloemfontein National Training Center, a high performance academy owned by the state and Ascoke, we bring it to the level of any other university academy. The reason we are doing this is that our calculations is that it will relatively cost us about 40,000 per athlete if we use the National Training Center, as opposed to the current 278,000 rands per athlete when we use academies based at universities. It simply doesn't make sense to us. So we have the opinion that investing in our own infrastructure is better, because these universities, although universities are really government properties, they claim that they are autonomous and they have to raise money and we must pay rent on rent. And they do not see any need for them to really contribute to the national objective of ensuring that we are a winning nation. They are looking for money, and they say for every professor or analyst or whoever who does, they must be paid professional rates. So we think that we can do better. So we, it is for that reason that with Ascoke we are working on the National Training Academy. In Goal 5, we look at using sport as a tool, as an indicator, and here we are looking at the 5% decrease by 2019. This is an increase in perception, because this is the only thing we can really measure successfully. An increase in perception that sport is being recognized by the South African population as contributing to the nation building. So in this regard, we will use sport as a tool to contribute to our, the minimum of our four global priorities as a whole. Next. An efficient and effective organization is what we are looking at. Right now, we have a score of 3 on the MPAT. MPAT is the monitoring and performance assessment tool used by government. Minister Kholis Chavani, then when he started as minister in the presidency, monitoring and evaluation, introduced this MPAT as a tool to assess governments. Right now, it will be administered by Minister Jeff Hadere. Since then, MPAT has been measured once, and in each first year of measurement, with MPAT you get scores of 0 to 4, and 0, you get actually 1 to 4 with no 0. So the highest score you can get is a 4, and the lowest score you can get is a 1. So last year when departments were measured, only 4 departments made a score, I'm talking about national departments, made a score of 3. There were no departments who made a score of a 4. And the good thing is that our department was one of the 4 departments that got a score of a 3, which was the highest score by any department, national department. Many of the government departments got 2s and some 1s. There were no one with a 4. We have targeted ourselves that within the next 5 years, we will get a score of a 4, which will be a clean score, which will mean total compliance with all laws and with everything and with no queries. We have also set ourselves a target of continuing where we have left off, of annually receiving an unqualified audit. And us and the South African Institute of Drug Response, we have been getting this audit continuously, an unqualified audit. And with Boxing South Africa, in 2011 when we started the turnaround strategy, they had a disclaimer. We were able to help them move to a qualified opinion. It was a good movement. I know people were still not happy, but it was a good sign that we were making progress. And now, last year, for the first time in many years, folks in South Africa got an unqualified audit opinion as well. So after our 2 entities, we had also managed to move there. So we want to persistently assist voting, and we also want to help it to get an unqualified opinion, also with not a lot of funding, and also with a good thing. And the good thing is that SASCOC as well has been getting a good audit outcomes in this regard. So in consultation, we went extensively. These are all the institutions we have consulted in finalizing the APP as well as the strategic plan. And you will see that some of the important bodies that we have been having those this next. Now, our good map, so to say, is our tabling the 2014-2019 strategic plan. Once the committee agrees with us on the strategic plan, we will then print it for publication, and we'll also need to enable the 2014-15 APP. This work has already been done, if you remember, Chair, but it was then agreed, and the presidency agreed with the former speaker that we will table approve because we couldn't go into a new financial and it's no documentation. And then when the new parliament takes over, we will retable with the possibility that during the adjustment budget, should the committee suggest otherwise and decide otherwise, we then can change the place around and do the necessary adjustments during the budget adjustment in September. And right now we are at the stage where we will then have to retable the 2015-2020 strategic plan and 2015-2020 APP. So that's where we are next. Okay, these are all the issues that are spoken about. They have already impacted on what we have done next. Now, as part of some of the key programs, we have programs to celebrate 20 years of democracy. We have already held the 20 years in sport celebrations, and we did also a commemorative match between Australia and South Africa in cricket. After readmission, the first match South Africa played on an international pitch was a match between Australia and South Africa, a cricket match, and it was more befitting that 20 years later, in 20 years of democracy, the celebratory match be that one of Australia and the South Africa United, which was played here. Then the other big program is the youth camp session, which helps us contribute to our mandate of outcome voting, which is social cohesion. We have youth camps this year. Only those children born in 1994 are going to camp. Each province normally has an average of about 300 of us who go to camp. We use sports there as a catalyst for encouraging this. This youth camp movement is called the Trailblazer, and they are now in the third year, and they started an alumni of themselves, and we will be supporting them grow further because it's a lifelong commitment. Once you have been to camp, then are a Trailblazer for life. And so, to that end, we see this as like a Boy Scout and Girl Guides movement that is continuous for forever. And we're also having the IKAYA. IKAYA is South Africa's home away from home. At all major sports tournaments in globally, multi-coded tournament, we normally take IKAYA. The last one we had was at the London Olympics in 2012. And this is where South African athletes go. They can keep in touch with their families. They have access to internet. They get all of this. They can send an email, conduct business, and transport to use this as a base to lobby for important tournaments and hosting of important events. We also have South African dinners, and we promote local culture and cuisine. And we have extensive partners in provinces as well as the Department of Trade and Industry, Environmental Affairs, Tourism. We also have Bank South Africa and the South African Tourism Authority and the High Coalition or the Embassy of South Africa, whichever country we go to, who participate in all of this. And Athen Culture, who runs an active program of entertainment as well as South African films, books, all of this are promoted at this ECHAYA. So we, our ECHAYA has always been very vibrant, and so all other countries have caught up the fever. At 2012 in London, the Australians, the US, Brazilians, Argentinians, everybody had a little bit of a similar type of thing, but as usual, ours is always a better bet, and people are always full. Just as an indication, during the London Olympics, we had in excess of 15,000 people who went through ECHAYA at London. So, and this is a good audience. By what we have seen, other people getting, the Nigerian one got like 3,000 people. So, comparatively, you can see what helps us achieve that. We also have in facilities the issue of sharing of spaces and the what the national plan has to do. We have finalized the national facilities plan here. We have seven grades of facilities. The most important thing is the MIT thing, and this is an issue we believe it has been a thorny issue for us for a long time. We are now insisting that the local government, COCTEL, and the treasury should agree that the ring 15% must be harvested from all municipalities and consolidated into one grant to build. The reason for this is simple. Right now, and Salga has told us on this, yes. Even at the SASCOC President's Council, the CEO commented on the support of the state, because that now this is the municipalities that are given 15% to the support facilities do not build the facilities with this money. They spend it on other things. And I think we are somehow sympathetic and understanding that. A cash-strapped municipality like Letemeng in the south of the Free State, asking them to, when they can't repay their Section 57 managers, and they owe ECOM so much money that I always am a constant threat that the whole community will see blackout, and they can't even pay Bloom Water for water they have. 90% of the residents are on the incident register, meaning that they are not paying anything, and expecting them to build a stadium when they can't pay for water is a tall order. So they are likely going to use that money for other things. And that's the first part. The second part is that there's also an evenness. I think this is also the problem of the equitable share formula. 60% in some municipalities is so little that it can only build a kick out, you know. And there is still no maintenance for it. And in other municipalities, 15% is so much that they don't really need that much money, you know. I guess it's the case here in Gauteng. Like in Eswatini, they want to build a facility of 700 million. Really? I mean, there's no way we can agree with that. So, for such a small population, the stadium is simply not too big to contemplate. So, and ironically, the municipalities that need the facilities the most are the ones that do not have the money. 15% is so little. And the ones that have so much, in 15%, they have so much facilities themselves. So we need to harvest all of this and cross-subsidize. If we don't do the Robin Hood style and take from the rich and subsidize the poor, because after all, we are one country. And it can't be that it should just be like that. And in this manner, it will also help us address the maintenance case, because simply growing a facility at a municipality is not a solution. Because majority of them are dilapidated and they are not managed well. So we are insisting on harvesting all the money and coming together. We have finished the grant framework for all of this, and we want that money with effect from April 2015. So we have taken this to the Lakota of government, and it has been endorsed at the Lakota. There's others who have other ideas in COCTA and so on, but I don't think that it is something we must let go, and we would seriously ask the committee to strongly support us on this bit to harvest all the money from the energy and have a new building for sports and recreation grant that will finance the sports facilities and the national facilities plan. On transportation, I've already spoken about this, the state of geopolitical boundaries and the scorecards, so I'll pass. Next is recreation. Cheri believes that we must promote active recreation programs, and particularly those programs where facilities are not a key defining feature to those activities attending, such as the example I gave of OT or OD and so on. All of this can be done. We also have started a new program called Cycle for Life, which looks at recreational cycling as a way of promoting health in advance in communities. And soon you'll see we'll have a big launch on Cycle for Life, and we will then scale it up. We have already begun establishing township clubs and also township backpackers, and we have already started distribution bicycles. Even 2 weeks ago, the minister was in Durance giving away bicycles. So we are giving bicycles on a large scale now to ensure that we encourage all of this next. In school sport, this remains our biggest flagship program. This is our most important program. In fact, 40% of our budget is spent on school sport, and which simply goes to show our level of commitment towards development. Because we believe that school sport is an important component and a catalyst for all sports development. It is a bedrock of our entire development continuum. And we have adopted a top school league format, which we started in 2012. In 2012, when we started, we had only 8 coaches playing this league, and we had about the national championship, about 5,000 participants with only about 8,000 schools registered. Today, of the 24,000 public schools, Chair, we have 15,740 schools having registered for the top school league. But what is sad is that although 15,000 have registered, it's only about 11,000 that are actually participating. And the reason for this is simple, is that some of the schools have not played any sport in the last 8 years. They don't have a ball, they have nothing, they don't know where to start. And we have consistently been assisting schools which have raised their hands and registered and said we want to play. We have consistently given them sport equipment, we have given them attire, everything to help them start. And we have also done self-help money for teachers, so that if they choose to play a coach of the 60 prioritized schools for coach, that they can read the rules and read everything and how to sort of aid those guys in getting stores going in schools. So we have a long way to go, and we have various challenges with school sports. I think what I would suggest is that one day, Chair, because this is the biggest priority, that I spend the whole session in the portfolio committee just on school sports, that we can go into the intricacies of the school sport, our challenges, how we are running it, and the issue of youth and power educators. You will recall also that last year, when SASU was demanding that they want the minister to resign and the director general to resign, they agreed on a goal. They immediately said that teachers must not do any extracurricular activity. And because in our country, the South African Schools Act, and this I think is another mistake we did in 1994 or 96 when the Schools Act was adopted, that act has made school sport optional. It is no longer part of the curriculum. It's no longer compulsory. And children can really choose whether to play or not. And if their parents do not say yes, then that they can play. They can simply say to the teacher, I don't want to play sport. And there's nothing the teacher can do about it. And so we think that the basic education must push an amendment to the South African Schools Act and now make school sport compulsory. I know that for children who go to the 3,000 odd independent schools, their parents are forced at the beginning of the year. It's the condition of enrollment that a child must choose about 3 codes which they will play. They choose from the list of summer codes and winter codes. And they say they can choose 2 year or 1 year or 2 year, 1 year. But you must at least play 3 codes. In our schools, we are struggling to give children at least an opportunity to play 1 code. Whereas countries we measure ourselves against, like Australia, give their children an opportunity to play 5 codes already. At primary school, those children are playing 5 codes in Australia. Yes, we're struggling to get our children to play just 1. And so we have a long way to get all the 24,000 public schools participating in the league and participating seriously. And we have a problem with also the educators who insist that this is an abundant thing and an extracurricular activity. They need to be paid overtime for this. And the other bad decision was to cluster physical education with life orientation as a subject. This has been the biggest weakness of the democratic government, because we no longer trained physical education teachers who were really the key drivers, because they had the passion for this thing, they had the passion for sport. They were the people who used to organize tournaments, coach children, spend time with them after school. Right now, a life orientation teacher has 16 components to teach life orientation alone. Curriculum for life orientation has everything from sex education to carnal hygiene to all in life orientation, including arts and culture. So a teacher who I'm in Nifa and wearing shoes like this, one polish, and they're dusty soccer pitch there, I'm not going to take the children onto that pitch. I'm going to say to them, draw something there. You know, and I sit there behind my desk and I keep a heater around the heater because it's cold. So if we bring back the life, the physical education as an independent subject standalone, and we make it compulsory like it was, many of our problems will go away. But basic education argues that this will add a 3.5 billion and stack to their salary bill, so, and that they will not have really the time to do this. But we think that the country must make choice, and this committee and the representatives of the people of South Africa will have to had it say about what should happen. And I think previously we had joint committees with the Portfolio Committee on Basic Education. That's we should also share with the new committee and see how far we can go in convincing the artistic department to get this thing going. I'm not sure I will leave it for now, but we have many challenges there, but good thing is that we have started. And last year we had the 2012 championships in Bloemfontein. We had 11 coaches being played, and we had in excess of 11,000 participants, a huge jump from 5,000. We think that by 2017, at peak, with all 16 coaches being played, we will have a championship of about 25,000 young people. So this is massive, because the London Olympics was only 5,200 athletes, and it was seen as something big. But we have never as a country attempted anything to speak on this large scale. I think the second biggest program after the ARV rollout program. So we are quite ambitious about it, and we think that we can actually be doing it next step. Chair, we are thinking of building a sports house. This together with SASCOC, we will house all the small federations in this thing, and also house the Department of Sport and Recreation, and also have so-called traditional grounds, because we are one of the few African countries that doesn't have this. So each time our sport federations have to have national championship, we rent venues at exorbitant amounts of money, and we also give them money, which they use the bulk of it on paying rent, and they also pay bookkeepers and auditors and all of this. At the sports house, will have centralized, they will centralize those functions. They will share bookkeeping facilities, they will share auditors, they will share everything with us, and it will make sense, and in the long run it will save us money. But when we start, it will be big, of course. But if you think about it, the return on investment will be realizable in the first 10 years. So that's how big this is important to us. Next is the issue of, we are finalizing our review of our organizational structure, and we are at the end, actually. We are almost done. And so, in terms of the new establishment, we're supposed to be 297. We are now 118. When we are done with this, be 217. So, that's really where we are going with all this. And the other important thing for our department, we have a high staff turnover. We have a very youthful workforce, and consequently, they are always on the lookout for new career progression and career opportunities. And because of the nature of some of the units, we hire more and more young us, particularly those that have just graduated in sports science, degrees, and human movement, and so on. And we get them into our department, but they don't stay at all. So typically, a normal staff member at our department, except the older ones, the younger ones spend 3 years and they go. So, the issue of staff retention has become very, very key to us, because by the time, at the end of the 3 years, when these people are now sharpened, is the time they really have to be, you know, which is not a good investment for us. So that's where we are going. With the next nation, that is all the other supporting activities next. I won't go into detail on that. So here we have a ministerial advisor committee on recreation. For years, we have always been the Department of Sport and Recreation. But essentially, we have always done sports, strictly speaking, and we have neglected recreation in a big way. So recreation has always been a stepchild of our department. Since 2012, we began improving on our basket of products in recreation, and we have done a lot now. We are also rolling out recreational facilities as well as parks, and we have a program now with one open spaces to improve on recreational halts in municipalities, and we are doing a pilot now with the city of Johannesburg with health recreational halts, and we will see how far it goes. We have also finalized a sport mascot. Many of you will remember Zaguni, the mascot of the FIFA 2010 at Leopard. He's been Zaguni was a very popular mascot, but we gave FIFA money to do the Zaguni. And the World Cup finished. When now we wanted Zagumi, FIFA that to us is their property. If we want to use Zagumi, we must say FIFA royalties. Mm-hmm. But we have become clever now. By the time we did the effort, we agreed to commission a mascot, and we asked 3,000 primary school children to do proposals on this. And they did. Three mascots were shortlisted, Takuma, Agozanke, and Shingo. And the three mascots, those children who were shortlisted, the schools got advertising and spot sales and facilities and all of this. And in return, we had a competition on SuperSport for the public to vote for their favorite of the three. And the public, majority of the people voted for Daguma. And then Daguma became the mascot for the AFCON. And after that, but we were so impressed with all the three mascots that we decided to use all three. So Daguma did the AFCON, and after the AFCON, did the chant this year in January. And we agreed with the chair that he would have a 3 months schooling of T-Rocks. And that 3 months has since expired. At the Netball Premier League, it was his first duty in his new class as a South African sport mascot. And he promoted the Netball Premier League. Now he's going to promote the Basketball National League. So, Daguma is our mascot. We gave him a volunteer to the Institute of Graduate Sport. They will use him to promote that schedule in schools. And we also have a mascot called Shingo, which is a mascot for school sport. The reason I invested so much money in the mascots and their program is that we think that if children can be so fascinated with Spider-Man and with SpongeBob and all sorts of fun characters from overseas, if we promote this mascot and market it well, indeed we can actually, from merchandising point of view, make a lot of money for South African sport, and that money can be used for sports a lot. Then we have a program called the Sports Bus. The Sports Bus is a program which we have modeled more along the ice cream same time, you know, when we hear that little music of ice cream, respective where you are and who you are. Even as an adult, you hear that music, you know ice cream. And children start asking you for money to buy the ice cream even before they see the rest. So we have the opinion that we need a similar bus. So we have commissioned 12 of those buses. We will give one to the Scock. They will all look the same, all of them, and they will play all the same music. Give one to South Cork, one to each of the 9 provinces, and 2 buses will remain with us, national office. And these buses, each time they play music and they get into communities, children will know that they must run to the nearest sport field. They'll never know whether today is it bringing a sports star in hockey or in rugby or what, but then they'll know that coaching clinic is coming. And those who are interested, they run to the nearest sports field and bus comes open up and we issue equipment, everything, and we do the work. So in the culture, we want to start with that bus and it will be ongoing for forever. So later in the US and others, as you are listening to the bus, you'll know this reminds me when I was late sports. You know? So we have therefore done all of that. So there's other mini programs I won't go into detail on. But of importance is that we have a campaign called Unite. This is our campaign for social cohesion. And its flagship program is the so-called Nelson Mandela Sport and Culture Day, where we get different sporting goals. This year, we are looking at going Niger. And this, we are using the leadership of Nelson Mandela of using sport to unite South Africa. We will have the so-called the Super Weekend in the third weekend of September. We'll have the so-called Super Weekend. On the third day, we will have Nelson Mandela Sport and Culture Day fundraiser. And last year, we raised 11 million towards the Nelson Mandela Children's Hospital through the Gina One Pledge, and as well as a selling of memorabilia. We still have the cap Nelson Mandela and the jersey which he wore during the Rugby World Cup 1995 in that famous picture of his and Francois Pinard. That is still in our office and still remains the property of government. If the price is right, Che, we will sell it for a limited period. It will not be sold forever. We'll sell it for a period of 10 years and the person can keep it, and we will go fetch it after 10 years and it belongs to us again. I think the price is right. So the right price, we are looking at minimum 50 million. If you are not willing to pay, we'll keep our jersey. We don't have a problem with it in our office. But essentially, we want to use the money to raise money for the Nelson Mandela Children's Hospital as his legacy and cause. And on a Friday, we'll have an international concert run by Arts and Culture. We're looking at only top South African artists as well as UK artists. And on the Saturday, we'll have at Ellis Park a match between Bafana Bafana and England, and a match between the Springboks and England. And on Sunday, at the Wanderers Club, we'll have a match between the Netball Frontiers and England, and a match between the South African cricketers, Proteas, and England. So we will play England all the way for the rest of the weekend. So, and we hope we're going to beat them all the way, you know. Therefore, except Mahana, I won't say it's outside, but we are hoping we will beat them all the way. So that campaign is very important to us in this regard. There's also, in October, the first Sunday, we do the so-called the big walk. And we do a 10-city walk across all the non-provincial capitals and Pretoria. We have this walk where, this year, our target in partnership with Coca-Cola is to attract 100,000 participants. It will be the largest walk the country undertakes. And in this regard, we also have the Golden Games targeting older persons, as you know. And we are asking kindness rather to declare the first Friday of October. This year that first Friday will fall on the 4th. The first Friday on the 3rd of the first Friday of October will be declared National Recreation Day. We do not envisage that this will be a public holiday, but envisage that the companies and the state and parliament, everybody will observe this day, allow Mecca and everybody to do aerobics and do activities, and they can play football, whatever they can do. That's what we want to encourage, and that we'll do on an annual basis, because October is World Working Month and it's time for physical activity. And Welsh Day for Physical Activity, this will observe already on the 6th of April, and we also have Move for Health Day, which will be held on the 10th of May. In this regard, we also have the Rural Sport Improvement Program. This will work with the National House of Traditional Leaders. The intention really is to give amakosi and empower them to promote rural sport. So we give them a lot of equipment and seed money for them to be able to arrange tournaments. We have this far done this with 16 rural households across the country, and our flagship for it was Headland Resort Traditional Council with Ingosi Mandela. So we had the biggest one there. And we are also looking at modified sport. We have introduced this, and we are already rolling out facilities for modified sport. The reason for this is simple. Research indicates to us that more and more younger people are not interested in the traditional formats of the league. If you take cricket as an example, the test is very boring. There's men spend there the whole day and eat, and sometimes there are chance that there's a row, there's a rain, it's washed out or whatever. Young people don't have time to watch this thing forever, but you see that with the modified version of the sport, the children is the most favorite among youth, because they know that they're getting, I enjoy, and by the time I leave, it's all done, I know the result, and I leave. And even other children don't like to play the normal format of football, but a five-a-side and a kick-about, as long as the ball is continuously going, it hits the barrier and comes back and continues playing. There's no stoppage and no action all the time. So that's what we're doing. We also have a National Sport Volunteer Corps program. On our database now, we have 1,500 volunteers registered. CHERIS National Sport Volunteer Corps encourages former players, former coaches, former administrators, and so on, to volunteer their time and to spend their time, and we allocate them to schools to work with school children in promoting sports. We also do indigenous games. We have grown this festival significantly. It's taking place in September. We'll invite you there. We now have recognized 9 codes. We have added 3 stories last year. But all of them, Juva, Murawarawa, Haki, Ghetto, and all of those are being played. We have formalized them. The festival this year will even be bigger and better. And we also have a parade preceding it, and also have a cultural festival attached to the games. And we are inviting the Scots to come at a showcase for 2 days to do the Scottish Highland Games to improve the profile of the games. Then we have the Ndrumulangeni Golf Development Program with the Ndrumulangeni Chapter. This is intended to help as many black young players to enter the world of golf and to change the current landscape we see. And so we have ended this program now to the South African Golf Development Board, and we are doing due diligence on a number of golf courses. We have already accredited the National Golf Course as well as the Soweto Golf Club. So we are now doing a Silver Lake Golf Club. We have also in the chapter accredited. Now we are they're staggering 34 players in the chapter, the World Development Chapter, with 34 players in support through World. With LabLab, we do a lot of work. I will not go into the LabLab progress now. One day they will come here and share with you.
Let me teach you. Yes. Of love that everybody must listen in. I'm looking at the time when I started. I've seen many of them been writing, but I don't think we need not to have a break. I'm sure we are having a break of 3 years. The first committee. I don't know how do they feel, or are you about to finish each slide, your slide, in order that we must have just a 3 minute break. I'm suspecting that the concentration is not that much as we've started. I don't know how do you manage after that you are giving us a 20 year of the democracy. We do enjoy, but I'm suspecting the concentration is still there. How are the members feeling about the people? Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you, sir. I think he was about to finish when I'm looking at the slides. Yeah. And then maybe after break we will start engaging.
Okay, thank you. Next one. I'll try to be quicker now. In terms of the full spot, I will not go into detail. I will come to that one on this next slide. This one said half of our grant goes to provinces, and we have they are supposed to use it for mass participation, and this is a development conditional grant, but we have ring-fenced money since 2012 to support them in doing various things. Again, when we come to the issue of the budget, one day I will present you fully what the picture looks like then. Okay. Next, here we have the Ministerial Sport Bursary Program, which we fund most talented children in sport, and these children are then sent to the so-called sport focus schools. And then I supplement with 100,000 rand from the time they start grade 8 until the time they finish matric. So, and they're sent to the specialist schools to be able to nurture their talent and develop it further. And that is part of our bigger talent identification and development strategy, which we have now finalized with SASCOP. I've also finalized the academic system. SASCOP can speak on that, can explain what happened there. This year, being the inner year, we do the South African Conference or South African Sport and Recreation Conference. That's what we'll do this year as well. And there is a program we do with the defense force called Operation Victory Lab. We are now on the verge of signing for this. They are already up at the intent in this, and here in the Western Cape, in Old Oran and in Savannah, and there are other sick bases where this will be done. Basically, we recruit children from matric who are talented in sport and send them to the army, and they are recruited in the army. They do military training and qualify, but immediately after qualification, they will no longer focus on combat or fights or what. They focus on sport, and they are paid as soldiers, and they are trained in that way. So we have been required by the Defence Force to summarily declare the program top secret, because the Defence Force is an army of volunteers and not of conscripts. So since these are sports conscripts, it's not something we can really publicly talk about openly, but all other countries do the same thing. And all other countries spy on our athletes. But we are the only country that doesn't spy on other athletes and their training methods and so on. And we are just honest, so it doesn't help us. So these athletes, SACOP knows that do not see them on many of their qualification stages, but we have to convince them that they must see them in private. And they are going to always be supply packages of South Africa because no one expects them. In the same manner that little swimmer from China surprised everybody at the Olympics. You know, so it's the same thing we want to do. Next. In sports tourism, I will go bigger on that. In 2012, we won the award of being the best was tourism destination in the West, and obviously it was after the World Cup and every other thing that we have done. In terms of this, we have a plan thing which we presented before Cabinet. This is our hosting plan. We will start in 2017 with the World Military Games, hosted together with the Department of Defense. And in 2018, we will host the Chess Olympiad, World Chess Olympiad. And in 2019, the African Games. And in 2022, the Commonwealth Games. And in 2024, the Olympic Games. This is our plan on a long-term basis of sports tourism and what we intend to achieve. And the lobbying has already begun in earnest. And while for the Olympics, Cabinet has not yet made the decision that it will, all indications are there. The president in Japan announced that South Africa will lead for the 2024 Olympics. And he also recently, when he was interviewed, he again announced that. And when he met with Thomas Bach, the president of the International Olympic Committee, again he expressed to the media and to SABC that we will beat. So we have written to the presidency to ask if there is a presidential minute on this and that we can take the matter further. We haven't been given 1 year, so we have pushed all of the things that have the 2024 games up until now. Mm-hmm. But with Arthur Sascock, we know that Sebram Semi, our only South African on the International Olympic Committee board, has been busy trotting and trying to garner for votes and testing matters. So it does look good that they get the bid. Will be the first country ever in the history to host the Commonwealth Games and also the Olympics. So we want to do that because we think that we can succeed. Next. Here I can only touch on the history of sports. The history of sports is a program we are running. There are so many people who are strong heroes and heroines in sport in our country, mainly because of athletics. And so we started the so-called the Ndrum Lange in a Green Jacket program. The reason we named it after Ndrum Lange is simply because at the age of 85 now, he still plays golf, and he plays it well with a nice handicap. So we named this, and he represents for us the concept of lifelong participation in sport. And so we give green jackets to the stalwarts who, because of apartheid, were never given the Springbok colors and were never recognized. People like Grant Holmes, people like Blanche Miller, people like Lincoln Dooley, who won like the Emperor's title or the foreigner to the Commonwealth title in boxing, has never been recognized as South African legend. All of that. And so we're working towards the National Sport Hall of Fame for all of this, where we'll celebrate all these people. And we annually have a little green book where we publish the top 100 most influential personalities in sport. People like Mr. Tommy Reddy feature in that little green book as powerful people in sport. And we also run an exhibition annually, which is the exhibition on the history of sport in the struggle, which shows how sport was used and how it contributed to the fight against liberation. And in honoring our sponsors, we have a Ministerial of Stadium Sports Performance Recordings program. Yesterday, we honored in excess of 116 athletes in different codes who did South Africa proud on the international stage. And at the end of November each year, we have the SA Sport Awards. And the awards in various categories recognize and applaud the progress of excellence and distinction in our sport. Last one. There's one important program I will mention here, Chair, which is the Taiwan Leadership Layer Benefit Program. This program, the program which looks at supporting former athletes, those who died top of them. Each time, many of them come to us and they do not even have money to bury themselves. So we are insisting now, working first court, that all national federations must issue an insurance scheme for current players. And we are working on that. We have already shortlisted the service providers that will do the work for us. And secondly, we are also looking at a once-off insurance premium. At the last count, the premium was about 79 million to cover all former players from across all courts. But we're not getting much joy with the federations in giving us the needs of the athletes, all of them. And the window of opportunity, it closes. There will be just athletes who are not listed. But we want to list everybody there. Each time that person dies, they can live from this scheme and they can be paid and whatever be done. They can educate their children, whatever the case might be, because we are the only country where sports people here die as hoppers and do not really make money. In other countries they do. And so, and we have also done an important thing here. We started the Netball Premier League. This was its first season. Netball being the biggest coach by participation, by sheer number of people paying it, and the biggest coach among women, has never really been given a short life. We have decided to professionalize it. We had our fair share of problems, the previous committee was of our bigger problems with the Netball people, but we have made a good move. The first league has gone through, and they were supported by a group of food, it's called the Brutal Food Netball Cup. And we also have the National Basketball League now. We are professionalizing basketball. We are already working on two new leagues, one in volleyball and one in hockey. And so we are looking at that. And also the Women National Basketball League. We are also working for the women one. We are in the second season of this basketball thing. So lastly, the issue we'll ask you to support us on is on, go back, is on that issue, the sports event ticket levy. We will have a committee to support us on this issue. The reason for this is simple. The tourism manager, you go to the hotel and sleep somewhere. There is a 2% curtain that is deducted from your deal and is paid over to the tourism authorities. And that is to develop the tourism establishment. Even on the airline ticket, you pay the name, but you pay as part of the hotel. In the same breath, we want sports people who go to watch matches, particularly the expensive tickets, that there is a levy imposed on them, and that we collect all this money for sports development. This will generate a new revenue stream for us in as far as this, and we estimate that the current ticket prices and the current attendance rates admissions across codes. Right now, if we were to impose just a 5% levy, we will make in excess of 10 billion a year. So that's how much money we want, and we're targeting. So that's what we do, and we and Sasquatch are allocated to development. It's team money, it will go by the revenue funds, and it will then have to be allocated. I guess that's where I will end. That will be our story, and end in there.
Thank you. Thank you, DG. As I indicated, that you will give us a briefing of 20 years on 2 hours. You have tried, and you suspect that members have returned whatever they want to ask, and we'll be having a small break of 5 minutes, and then we'll fire questions to you, DJ. Thank you. We'll fire, we won't ask. Thank you.
No. Thank you.
We do have whip of this cause. He must whip the other members to get inside. The other strike is he's not in. I suspect we don't have enough time when I'm looking at this agenda. DJ, you must try your best not to relax too much. We are coming for a very important debate. We want you to take also your time. But there is an appeal from that they will be waiting for if it is. No, but we need that after this discussion, you must follow your budget, which is very important for us as members. So we need to try your best. Thank you, honorable members. I'm thinking that we need to get all the information. We have some stakeholders who invited them, and UDG has presented. I don't know which person whether she does have opportunity to raise questions, maybe at the end. I've got about 7 questions. But if I can start, I'll discourage other people that it will take the time of all members, but I'm suspecting the end, if these questions are not going to be raised, I'll do raise them. Let me take this opportunity to give it to the members after this presentation, that is the mouthful. Honorable members, this is your committee. You may raise anything that you think it will assist the committee. You know, sometimes when you raise me questions, you raise questions that you can benefit all of us. But I know that sometimes you can differ, but there's nothing wrong on that. Any intake, I must note, and honorable Bachman, number one. Number two, Honorable Mutega, Honorable Manana, Honorable Abrahams, you know that I will be saying Adams, and Honorable Mara, Honorable Moose, Honorable Strife, our week.
Thank you, Chair. Most of what I would have asked is covered in the plan, and the others aren't really as pressing as what I do need to ask in terms of the international exchange that we have, and specifically coming up to the Nelson Mandela weekend where you've got England coming to us. We've introduced this new visa application to Home Affairs. And when it comes to sports, have we coordinated with Home Affairs on how we're going to accommodate in terms of visas and to ensure that we don't embarrass ourselves when it comes to teams not being allowed in? Thank you.
Number two.
Thank you, Chair. These are calling. My busy guy is a child about. Okay. Honorable Mutega. Yeah, my questions are more people's than questions. The first one will be DG, we're missing timelines on everything you have presented. So, because it's going to be difficult for us to monitor if we don't know timeframes and figures as well. And secondly, I'm more concerned about the rural sports or rural schools. You see, I know you have been doing work for the past 2 years. But when you go to the rural areas, Ebizana, Mahamune, Gihali, because we walk in the whole country, you know, we can see the situation is very worse. There's no sports at all in many rural areas. So if we can have a target playing in rural areas, the municipality there must have a certain target. Let's say, for example, two sports facilities to each sub-regional or local municipality per financial year. The rural communities will start seeing the difference of the new plan and the previous one. You start seeing the results. Because that's what you do now. People in townships, of course, they see here and there. People in towns here and there, they see. But in rural areas, nothing is happening. We know, of course, our kids are not there, but they are people there. Please let us do something about that. The Amakosi, allocation of resources to the Amakosi, I'm more concerned about that. Because the reason why I'm concerned is because Our Amakosis are more involved in conflicts amongst themselves these days. And those conflicts will end up the one who receives the result is doing things only on a part of his own supporters or whatever, and not doing for the others. End of the day, you will be creating other conflicts. So I think the better way is for the local municipalities to be given those resources, and we come up with a very strict monitoring mechanism to make sure that the mine was allocated and it is really working. We go in there and see it ourselves. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. And I would like, Honorable Manana, I would like to welcome the presentation by DG. My DG, I think it's going to be question and input. My question says, as you're taking the half of the budget to the province, are you monitoring that budget, like when there are sporting events, if on the SSMG, when they do the implementation, are you monitoring it? Since there is a manager for that SSMG, maybe there are officials, but the officials, when they do the selection on the school sports program, are they selecting the right, maybe the, I can say, are they selecting maybe the learners equally so? Because some of the officially, they are doing the selection, especially using the criteria, using the friends and maybe family members or their friends. Some other people, they are also participating on that sport, but they are not selected. I don't know if you still have the Tiandala program where the youth out of school, is it still working or not before there was. So the Tiandala program, those officials, are you monitoring them? Maybe to do the selecting as well as the school sport, if they are not selecting their friends or the family members. Same as the following game. That are they not selecting their grandmothers or their family members for those old age games to participate? I will ask the DG to restrict on the monitoring and evaluation. And the traditional leader, I'm happy that you have touched the traditional leaders, where we can see that there are these indigenous games in Kuba, Iduku, Ideke, Iketo, and Ngatu, and yeah, three topics. And we know exactly that we are using this sporting tool to unite our people or to unite our country. So in that indigenous games we have got, although young people, they are not involved, but we can try our best to make the young people to enjoy this culture, the indigenous games, because we cannot maybe keep the old people only to participate on the indigenous, like we do have the Yaske, Drisokis, those whites, we're going to unite them as blacks. So we have to make sure that we bring the young people on the indigenous, on this indigenous sporting coach. And we're going to bring the traditional leaders to have the passion in sports. Because immediately if they don't ask on the indigenous, we're going to make sure that they support even the other sporting courts, with soccer, netball, all the sporting courts that we have in our country. So in basic education, that's included in the school sports program, we need to make sure that the basic education managers who are working with the managers in SSMP must work hands-on so that the school sports manager in the Department of Sports, when they identify, I believe that all the schools now have to participate, is it compulsory? I don't know whether it's compulsory or not. So that when the manager in sports identify the schools who are supposed to participate in the school sports program, and the basic education manager must work with the manager in the SMP so that they identify lots of schools who participate in those programs. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, I'd like definitely to agree and say this course is a way of transformation and that South Africa can be united. Healthy lifestyles should be included in all schools and should not just be in some schools. I'd like to know from the DG what criteria are being used for the bicycles, because I've seen in certain schools receive them and you're finding your own constituency letter, kids ask you why the main benefit. On the top schools, I'd like to recommend that we need to get that to regional, professional, national leagues and not just on a school league. I remember clearly many years ago that you used to find top soccer players within different Swaziland provinces, but within different sectors of schools, and we had school sports, and there are people also used to roster. I've been personally involved with the soccer ladies and the masters. They've registered with sports volunteer code, but they always ask me, when will they be utilized? These are professional players that have played many, many years in the 70s and 80s, and also in different codes, and they are crying there to be utilized. They are professional coaches, professional athletes. You find in some schools that you find an ordinary teacher would be a coach, and that is part of the problem where people are not qualified to do coaching and then coach. So please let us use these people. You find, I'm mentioning this, not just the defined DGBK, Mouthfish and the Kumarlin. There are lots and lots of other agents out there that are waiting. Also, it's very interesting to hear that there is a Rabang Legacy program. Many, if you follow in sports, many of our former players in different codes, they die, and unfortunately they have a corpus, you know, people that's been well known, and I'd like to know what is the criteria so we can encourage everybody to start registering for this fund. And lastly, I'd like to say school sports should be all the time, and not just during school holidays. You should find school programs during school holidays. And I'd like to note my colleague next to me, when the DG talked about losing some staff, I want to tell you that some of us have actually joined Parliament. She's a member of Parliament today, being one of the big sports guys in Limpopo. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. I just want the DG to elaborate further on some of the stuff that he's touched on, because I think while the presentation was useful in its essence, there were a few things that we're missing that could be more helpful, especially to new members of the committee. But my main area of interest was with regard to school sports and the support that goes in there, was to check whether the department has a database where they do monitor the development of these athletes who participate throughout school programs, so that one, we can do it for their own development, but also to measure how many athletes in different schools, be it football, rugby or cricket, take up sport at the junior school level, proceeding to high school, and how many of those then proceed to represent the different national junior teams that we have in the country, because I think that will also be a powerful tool of measuring whether we're producing athletes that, you know, not only participate in sports for life, but can also compete and do so competitively on the global scene. The other question that I want some more details on it is how the department foresees this issue of the sports event ticket levy making, because my sense is, apart from an exceptional national matches either involving Bafana Bafana when they are doing well in the location that they do so, or the Springboks, we seldom get fully packed matches, stadium packed with supporters. You can even look with the football matches, the rugby matches. My concern is, would this levy not institute an indirect additional tax which will fail to drive away fans? Has there been discussions with stadium managements who have they, you know, embraced this as is, or do they still need to have to be talked? Because my fear is that if it's 5% in court, stadium management, most of them are not even owned by these municipalities, so the municipalities might then affect ticket sale prices, which will have a reverse effect of driving away the very same people that we want to see filling stadiums, so that we can generate that levy. The last point is to just get a sense. You mentioned various amendments to existing legislation, and many of these indicated a sense of giving the department and the ministry some more additional powers to be able to have a sense of direct involvement, be it either across various sports federations. Can you just share in more the logic? Is it either because of the frustrations across different federations that they aren't doing more, and that we can expedite things if those powers lie with the department and vis-a-vis the ministry? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Well, with several questions. The first one around the two sports, as a petrol. I mean, given that the schools are not being increased, so do we have a conflict agreement that we can measure? That deals in particular with facilities, for example, discrepancy between advantage schools and disadvantage in terms of funding. I mean, there's a big gap there. And I thought that is where we need to concentrate. I know that there's a generation of schools. It would be interesting if we can get the input on them when our schools are open. Because for me, I mean, we need to switch kids on them and ensure that we deal with this discrepancy. The second one is also related to SASPO. I mean, because I've got an interest in Ramji as well as SASPO, because those are mass participation sports. The measurement in terms of performance size is rising. It's so even now in the camp. Concretely around development, how are we doing that? I know from the department, I mean, we give a substantial amount to the federation, and I know they've got measures to ensure that the compliance happens, but because they are somehow even, and do we have a leverage, that's example of a leverage between those powerful two organizations. In fact, this trade of Brigade is also very much. Well, I'm also interested because by now, I mean, if the National Development Plan in and there is a key proposal arising from there which can appeal in terms of mass participation. And I know that the department gives about half of its budget to provinces, specifically for mass participation. Not going to be useful to ensure that we kickstart this second Saturday of the month mass participation. Because I mean that can do wonders for South Africa. I would like to also have an understanding in terms of how far are we in terms of changing, ensuring that the federation's boundaries are the same as a political, geopolitical boundaries. How far we get from that, and what are the challenges? Because I think that is what we need to ensure that we can sort out as quickly as possible. The issue around the league, well, some guys here will want to hear their input around that. And I mean, if there is a 15% that is earmarked for sports, I should think that it needs to do that. But I know that it's more a question of sometimes those facilities being there, but no progress that can be made in those facilities. But you need to do a lot of work in terms of mass sport. Or the report that for me are supported by more people, and that is soccer. For me, I mean, there are no facilities, even in the suburbs or township, there are no grounds there, because most of the grounds that they see be taken over by housing developers. So the sporting fields for soccer is such as that. And I think there is a need for some kind of intervention between sport bodies, school sport bodies, as well as municipalities to ensure that we can have facilities. I mean, if you make a comparison between advantage and disadvantage schools at the moment, you will see that the advantage schools have got bigger for rugby, soccer, as well as cricket. But we go to the townships, there is nothing. And I should think that is where we should be as a country to show that we need a huge difference as anything as possible. Because you can have 101 things that you are doing. But I should think we need to say these are the new that we want to turn around as agents as possible. And this is the legal that we want to leave for ourselves. For me, those are the key things that I think we need to concentrate on.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Ramuyeni. I've got some few questions that I want to pose. Ramuyeni, one is that is wire and eye order not performing the same function? If not, you will indicate that to me and to the House. That was my first question. But my second question, Chairperson, would be with regard to the amendment that the Department envisaged coming up with on faith. I'm not sure, Chairperson. I'm thinking of a situation here whereby, you know, with every amendment, there's a financial implication. And I'm trying to check that if we are to amend with the amendment we get the right to do the testing on children, are we not going to get a situation whereby there are other pieces of legislation that would be opposing this amendment that we are going to come up with? I'm thinking here in situations whereby there are school governance act, whereby there are governing bodies that would decide who comes to the school or who is not to come to the school. I'm thinking here of situation whereby, you know, every person has got the right to privacy. And then we think when we come up with this amendment bill, are we not going to bring in something that, you know, in the longer run would be ineffective, something that would have just wasted money and have not implemented? That's my one question. My other question, Chairperson, would be to just to, it's not a question as such, but to say to the DG that I thought with the input of the presentation, you know, with every goal or strategy that the DG would come up with, would be speaking of robust rural development. I know that DG has spoken of that, but I've seen it as a culture that, you know, when we speak of rural development in sports, we speak of something that is a little bit isolated. We do not encompass it in a whole strategy. And mind you, if I may give you an example, DG, if you go to Sea Point or Waterfront, you'll always get to see the agents that are there, that are meant for recreation. And if really I'm to compare that with where I come from, where there is no sea, more a swimming pool, you know, it's better when you have to take things like genius and blah 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 and put them in rural areas, because with townships and towns like Cape Town, they are better off, at least they got the sea. When they have the sea and you have to put in genius facilities, you are adding on top of what they have. Whereas someone else in the Northern Cape, in KwaZulu-Natal, deep rural areas, does not have anything. I'm saying
the presentation of the department should be biased in favor of rural areas. Something that the honorable man has said. But Chairperson, the other thing that I want to talk about is the MIG. We have had the department for years. They've been speaking of ring fencing the MIG. I'm hearing today that it is still to be ring fenced, or to come up with what is it exactly that they're doing. Because what I'm hearing, what the DC is saying, is some sort of an excuse that we tried for ring fence, but here is a situation whereby you cannot expect a person to be keeping money while someone else is dying. Now, I just want the DG to explain in full that what is it that they've been ring fencing? What is it that they have in that ring fence that they've been doing for a long time? And I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Member and Honorable Members. Let me take this opportunity, TG, to ask some questions. Don't look at my body today. I used to be a network there. During our day time, I was number 7 of the network. I feel very bad that I didn't defend number 7. I'm not happy until I finish this 10, if I'm still alive, not hearing what are you doing for the netball players of this world. I was playing during the Tristan regime. The players were better than this government of mine. And even today, I didn't hear you saying that the facilities and the way that we are looking at netball like Mafana of Wana, like your Magobobo. I will be a nerve to this committee with all respect to my colleagues. I would love to see netball to be where it's supposed to be. One other thing, we are the majority of women in the world, and we are always not taking very seriously. It must come to an end today, because by virtue of that I was given this mandate, I won't abuse it, but I would love to see what is going on with the netball. They must be treated like any other sport code. I didn't hear you really saying a lot about these glorious Bafana whom we love them so much. The performance of them. What is the problem? What is it? There's been not like this. What are you doing? As whoever was supposed to do something, so many money are given to that coach, but God. I was listening to you. You do emphasize a lot on compliance, but not on performance. let's check and hear you say much about that. With the rural sport, I can't say, as I was saying, that we used to play in netball, with this soccer, was even then having the opportunity to get everything, uniform, they will get in uniform, as not all will go and ask from Gabo Mama to sew uniform for us. I don't want to hear that story any longer. But with the MIG or with the RULA, who are all from rural areas, unfortunately, when I'm looking at this team of yours, when I'm saying yours, we are representing the department, the minister. I'm sure we need to have an oversight with immediate effect in our provinces. A huge budget which is going to our provinces. I don't have anything that I can tell you that I'm seeing in my OR region, which is Amtata, Mbizane, Mount Elif. We need steps in order that we must assist you, precious departed of ours. One other thing that I must ask is the legislation. Do we still to have, or when are you going to present your amendments? How much is sport and recreation and others that are having? And then I said about, I talk about this provincial budget, which is very good. I'm curious about my leader, this thing of money going to the chiefs. I said I'm not the local player. I know that the majority of our people as parliamentarians are belonging to the chiefs. And whenever we're going there, they say that you don't have grounds. That's why the drugs are so much. Our boys and girls, they are doing nothing. The only thing that I'm proposing that for our program of this parliament and of this committee, we need to do the oversight by each department giving us those chiefs and chiefs and different kings that have given money in order that we must go. You know what? Everyone is going to come and present to us. And then from there, we'll go see where it all is on. We are not going to take only papers. You give a paper, we'll take our time to go and see what have you done about the people's money. We'll be doing that. Be blessed, because we'll go to those traditional leaders. Because we want that they must have something to see that the government is doing. Because they are part of the economy themselves. Saga. This make fun. When we even these documents that some are not with us, ourselves now are like these because we've been reading, seeing there's something that we've been accused that we're doing. To channel your make funds to other things, we'll go to our own municipal, we'll be assisting you to whip. And you know, I'm from in some of big municipalities, they are not idioms. And some of the SDM are half built, not finished, but we've got people called that the municipalities are preventing us as these people. We go there and we want you to assist you before we give you. You must come and tell us what is going on and we will assist you. That's the mandate of COMIT, of monitoring. DG, are there possible of amendments which are existing from ESRSA Act, or when I'm thinking that they will be coming forth with us? I've got so many questions, but let me check whether we can take other rounds, because we presented a 20-year program which is supposed to have double the questions. Members, they summarize. Thank you so much, DJ.
Chair, indeed, the questions have been fired. Chair, just to answer the issue of the visas, simply, quickly. So this issue of the visas and the regulation around immigration is something that all of us in government are trailing with. And even for states, often the laboratory group from here receives tests to test urine samples during competitions on the African continent. And sometimes for health, we hold the samples because there's another piece of law that speaks about the movement of human body parts and fruits and real thing and so on, and the cacalis and the carolines and the physical office. That's the small window. So this thing is a nightmare in the community thing. In the same manner with the new establishment of the other agency, and that is proof that we are one of the committees to be contacted so the committees, the departments that we have contacted in the process, that also has a huge impact on how we do. So the issue of the visa is an ongoing thing, but I think we have never had this far in a American situation where an incoming team is actually prevented from coming in due to that. In all fairness, each time the matter has been escalated and we have dealt with the Italian government, we have always got the support of the military department, whether be it Jericho or be it Home Affairs or be it any other of the departments concerned, like health in the case of samples and so on. So that, yes, I think internally through government, it is an ongoing thing, but we do not envisage that the new visa regulations would in any way disadvantage the chiefs. Also, that transport now is increasing the whole federation of the intended activities. That now helps us, because when you have each man, you normally do the challenges of that nature. The problem is, it seems that we should come from our country on such a short notice, or the federation that have not done their job properly, and the informing government of what they are receiving. Often they give us like a 2-day or 1-day request to say, please help. The team is at work out and they are busy with coming. And it's also about other sensitive issues, including particularly with sports officials and administrators. Take the case of yellow fever inoculation, which is required in terms of our law for people who come from regions where we know that it is prevalent. But this is a matter of national security. It isn't an issue of how important you are. So whether you are Issa Hayato or yourself, whoever, if you come from that region, you must bring your yellow certificate, yellow fever certificate. If you do not have it, we shouldn't allow you. And you might embarrass the country, like with the case of Nigeria. So let it be, because should we really open South Africans to an epidemic of yellow fever where the country is ready as a country to respond to it, under a guise that we should do and look nice and look professional to the international community. And I think the contract must also be understood. So it's twofold, and I think that's how the matter is. Honorable Mudege, I think in the real document, this was just a presentation, but in the real document, the attempting, the real plan as well as the APP, attempting, and the strategic plan also shows the fees allocation to each and every one of the spaces. So I must put from where to go that if I was to do that, then I would be using it really go through everything in that way. So this is a summary of summaries. Because behind each and every single topic I'm talking about, with a 20-page presentation independently, you have that. So, and which I can go into the utilities in time permitting. In as far as the issue of rural sports, we haven't seen conflict as yet from any of the advocacy, but we have a responsibility. There are areas which we have a shortfall on, particularly even as policy factors, particularly in the area of health and the trust, and the trust governed by the Amakosi of the chief. The reality is that even the release of land for a facility becomes a key issue. So Amakosi therefore becomes very critically important. It can't simply be either of the municipality or the Amakosi. It has to be both. We have to work with both stakeholders and say, listen, the municipality has the money, but your area is related for receiving the facility. Hoshi, can you cut us aside where the facility is going? And they still need to do that. Even as far as you can. So I think it's a question of an partnership, and the whole plan and program has worked relatively well. And I think this program must not be seen as a standalone program. Remember, within all our delivery programs, we have the rural bias, and this is the truth. We see this more so as a difficulty in school sports than in other areas of sport. Because in other areas of sport, one day I'll show you one of the presentations on community sport, and you will see that it's easier to give rural communities sport kids and all those things for them to play on their own recreationally and to have small base tournaments. But schools, as a way of organization, getting those schools to really participate, it's all about that. And I think more so even some schools, you find that the nearest school to them is like 20 kilometers, and this is really relative. But in other instances, the nearest school, on the first school, is about 40, 50 kilometers, just for them to go in and match. So And this is a school, normally all of them are in percentile one. There are no fee-paid schools. So you can't, where parents are not even paying school fees, expect that they will pay a sport lady or anything of that sort. So the schools will naturally not have money. What propels the matter further is that these schools, typically, basic education right now doesn't budget the service for school sport. We do, from our bigger resources, we budget for school sport. And unfortunately, the money we have, even if I wished for, it will never be able to buy for all schools. It's not possible. And particularly the consumers, things that you have to buy repeatedly, like balls and all of that. The money is just not enough. So the issue is simply to prioritize and say, first come, first serve basis. Those who register, the first 300 new schools that register on our database to say who are applying, they are the first ones to get equipment and every other thing. You will want that type of response. And I get a little bit of criteria on the way that we use. We look at which schools come first and they fill their forms first and return them and register them. We want to play, you know. And the other problem is the problem of disjuncture. All of them want to play football. So if all of them to play in the football league, it makes that football league very expensive, very cumbersome, because all schools want to play. So typically, we must accept that, particularly because of our big infrastructure planning, some schools, like a school next to St. Ramon Stadium, there was even a plan to break down and leave that thing as a parking, and the parents there fought. But that school, virtually, is two blocks of schools. No office block, and there's no more space. Next to it is the stadium. And next to it is the houses, and it's houses on the side. What do you do there? There's no space for facilities. And these children somehow are not allowed to play into this facility as well, because that facility attracts a higher cost. So challenge, there you have to be creative. Why don't you get that school to be a chess school? And they play chess, and you get as many of them to play indoor games and table tennis, which they can take away in a classroom and they play. So we have to be creative where it is impossible to introduce certain codes. And let's face it, the country will never have money to build Olympic swimming pools in all schools. It's not possible. I think we must simply accept that we have to prioritize and say, these two schools in this province are sport focused schools for swimming, and we give them like 10 swimming pools at that school. And all children who have talent in swimming, we all do them to those schools. And we have the best teachers who are coaches in swimming at those schools. And we have all the children supporting them in the spirit of sport learning to go to those specific designated schools. And I think it should be what we must think about and look forward to. On the issue, Honorable Munam, of the budget going to provinces and how we monitor implementation of that, we do since 2012 we started monitoring. 2012 we audited three provinces to see whether they were using the money, one, for the correct purpose, two, that the outcomes, the things they are claiming, were actually there. And we found a lot of unpleasant things, which we briefed the previous committee. And that committee then took two assigned visits as well. But I can give you an example of Mpumalanga. You said you are from Mpumalanga. Okay. I can give you an example of Mpumalanga where you say you are from. In Mpumalanga, as an example, we found that in club development, this is now some of the clubs. Yes, it's true, they gave the clubs that way have used the balls. And this type of ball is not the trading ball. This type of ball that you can buy for your daughter at game. They give it to a team. The team keeps it. 3 weeks later, the ball is torn up. And they are gone. On the books, you see it is delivered. It is true, the ball was there, but is it a right ball that would be given to those people? I mean, if you give them 1 inch and ask this ball, yeah, so your daughter has time to keep it at home in the backyard, okay. You can last maybe 6 months. But for a team to practice with that ball and to kick it all the time, there are certain standards that must be met in terms of the type of ball that must be given. So, and I think it's one of the things. In other instances, we also find where money for sport was used for this. Even in worst cases, where money for sports was used in other cultures, because the African culture and sport is combined in provinces. And they have a festival, and then they say that the mother has invited sports people to come there. Therefore, they book passes using the money of sports to send people to the music festival. So there were those cases, and we gave feedback.
have the provinces within corrective measures. This year we have just concluded an audit of 6 provinces. Still the outcomes were not pleasant, and we agreed that it will start by China. So we are beginning to impose penalties on the same grant, and we are punishing the provinces for non-compliance. And I've also indicated at the last committee that we will now consider criminal proceedings to HODs who authorize that money be used for the internet purpose. But you'll also recall that while I can as accounting office and transfer office, the powers I have are only as those listed in the DORA grant, in the DORA Act. I can only hold the transfer, which is what consistently with that. But we held the money and not given until compliance has been given. Another instance is this strategy of withholding money. In some provinces, it doesn't punish the administrators. It punishes the very children who must play because then there's no sport. Particularly because among the 9 provinces, Chair, only 3 of them budget from their own equitable budget for sport. The rest of them 6 are fully dependent on what we transfer as the grant. Without the grant, there is no sport in those provinces. And it is like that, and we wouldn't be shocked that even the mighty Gauteng with such a big budget zero. So they are fully dependent on what we are doing. If I was to withhold the land for a year, it means that effectively there will be no progress in supporting those projects. So, and even the issue that I faced with the committee previously, and I've asked that the committee attend to this matter, because it isn't a matter that can be attended by me. Parliament must sort it out. Summon the responsible provinces and their treasuries and ask difficult questions. Why are they not budgeting for sport? So it is like that. But yet we do monitor. And how do we select the schools to participate in the tournament? Really, at our level nationally, we do not select the schools. We finance, we give the chiefs very big money on which everybody must comply. And the issue is simple. This league is an account league. So it must be the schools that have actually won, not the schools that have been caged. We picked up this thing in 2012 that some schools didn't participate like in the biggest festivals, but yet they were allowed to play provincials. And the national championships last year in Bloemfontein, we qualified the number of schools, including from KwaZulu-Natal and the Northwest, as well as Mpumalanga in the Eastern Cape, because they took shortcuts to bring things there. So we simply disqualified them because this time around last year we were much more in than in 2012. We kept the list of all schools that participated at the tournament, and we kept the list of schools that participated at the provincial tournament. And in fact, all our management was in provinces to check that as part of our monitoring of how the grant is done. And when the new names of schools, the schools were filled at the national championship, we knew that the schools were not the ones that we were. And they were immediately disqualified. So, in future, it will also punish them, because if they bring a team, think about it, if they bring a team that is not supposed to pay, but they bring it to a national tournament, it carries cost. Those children must live somewhere. And even it's bad for the children, because the children are going to come. When they're told they are disqualified, they are not going to play. Those little girls must start crying, and it's uncontrollable, it's bad. And so in future, we will also insist that they disclose this as fruitless and as fruitless, and that punishment is given as such. Is there to Siadala? No. We don't do Siadala anymore. Siadala was conceptualized as a mass participation recreation program. But eventually, if you look at the amount of money that Siadala spent on, and what we have as outcomes, eventually we have nothing. So I think our country's problem is that departments are not bold enough to accept that the program is not working, and that is not working, let's leave. You know? So we have taken that painful decision to say, let's leave the data. In this place, let's support clubs better. In this place, let's make sure that we fund schools for more. So this we have done, and I think that's where we are spending the money that we used to do for the data for that purpose. So that's what we are doing now. The Golden Games and the selection there. Same thing, really. And with the Golden Game, the other problem has always been the issue of the fact that who really runs the Golden Game? Is it us or is it social development? our social development is very strong. We've had a lot in the Minister of Sport and Recreation and the custodian of sport in the country. Irrespective of who's playing, whether a child or an adult or a job or whatever, practice is sport. So, typically, it must be driven by us. I then said, listen, we're not going to fight charitables. Let's go faster. If they want to leave this thing, they must leave it. But you see, this is the problem. They want to leave this thing, but they want us to pay for it. It doesn't work like that. I'm aware that it's like in this way. Even they've dedicated a monthly school spot, but they budget zero for it. But then they want to dictate how we must use our money in terms of what matter can. It doesn't work like that. I think this is how it is. And we put our money, little money, where our mouths are. If we say, we want to take leadership of this thing, we're also inviting it. And we expect that everybody does so. So, because we don't really control the Golden Gates, we come in at the level of being a team of sons. And they have a shuffle, and they have games, they have run them erratically. They don't even have technical officials. They come with federation, they do their own thing. You know, and they say government just run there. So, bottom line is that we have now reached an accord with them last year. And after it was made, there is still that they really need us. So, some semblance of strategy has come in. And they are now using us to use, and they are asking us to work with them on a number of aspects. They are saying we can take the leadership. So, very true what you're saying. The issue, Honorable Adams, of the criterion for distribution of equity. really, this is a very difficult thing. And I'll tell you why it is. We have asked Cycling South Africa as a federation for this thing, to identify community clubs that can spend to benefit from the program Cycling for Life. And the first one they gave us was a thing in Cape Town here called the WAS in Kainicha. It was a pilot we were to run with those people to see whether it would work or not. We gave them different types of time. We went there. Two, Kainicha convinced the minister to cycle the Cape Agas to promote and champion the sport. And he cycled 104 kilometers of the Agas and he finished it. At first I thought that he would not win, but he did. He finished. We have since then also used the two major tournaments in the Cape, Agas as well as the Cape Peak, as a basis on which we identify future talents. And so we are starting in all the major townships of the country. So what we have done is that in each and every province we have identified two major issues to benefit from the issue of equity for life at the time. So in Gauteng, for instance, you have a restaurant, and you also have a farm. And in Limpopo, you have a Makado and a Shehu as the two beneficiaries. In the Western Cape, you have Kanika and Atlantis. Beneficiaries, and you also have gone along across the provinces and show where we are touching the township class and their benefits. So, identification will always have a benefit. We have stimulated in the community, they already participating in some tournaments, and when they do so, we help them form class and we give them the free credit in terms of that to really start their work. So, the presentation on Cycle for Life is interesting, very basic. If I was to go back through all of you that show you the many facets of what it does. The other issue is that you raise the issue of former players that used to use. On the basis of this call, we have to realize that these people are calling for this volunteer thing. It's not really volunteerism. They want money. And not a lot of it. They want real money. They don't play little games. For instance, the people you met and you say could be normally used each time. If we say to them, I'll give you an example, there was a team from the Eastern Cape that won our national schools for country chief and had to go represent us in the Milo Continental. And they were going to Nigeria to play. It's a team of 18. We arranged for a retiring team last match for them before they actually go to the tournament. And we arranged a team from Gabriel to play against them. And we asked this region to come give motivation and talk to the team before he leaves. And they said, no, for the motivational talk, you will be 10,000 each. Not give us 10,000 each, otherwise you are not coming. So, when we asked that, can you do a coaching clinic these days goes around 30,000 for them to do So we have the money to obtain this type of expenditure, especially in the return. So that is why we don't consider the so-called proposal of that attempt to us. People saying that they want to volunteer. They don't really want to volunteer. They want money, which is because purely that they are unemployed. So we are using the real volunteers who, when they know that there is no money, they don't make noise. They don't go to parliamentarians and say, ah, those people, you know, I used to be a star and I want to perform, but they are not giving me a chance to perform. If they are still the real one of the Goliath, they will not have spoken to the principal and say, give me your team, let me coach you. Because they could have easily done that before they come to Parliament and run here. But the real people who really want to volunteer, when we publish the intention to start the volunteer, we have not yet started marketing this thing. We are only going to start marketing it in August, the National Volunteer Corps program.
Teacher, in which you respect honorable members who have a challenge of time, DG must try to round up. We need all these questions to be answered. But Mr. Skok has got flights, a flight at 14 hours, and it is, or 15 hours, they are asking to leave us at 14 hours. So I'm suspecting that before even that, we need to have a break of a lunch. So it's not about this strategy. It can be an intimidation, but it's a problem of time.
My last question, sorry. So the four players really don't really want to help. The ones who want to help are the thousands odd who have registered voluntarily, and they just can't speak without having to ask anybody about what needs to be done. On the issue of talent literacy criteria, the criteria is simple. If you played before and you had one cap for the national team, you qualify. So the criteria is simply that you must have represented South Africa at least once. Rather, I like to be faced up with people who we don't know where he plays. Really. He can really tell me that you are playing for more than 11, and I never know that. Then you must speak for them. So, this is the point of making one cat, not the criteria. Honorable Sushoka, do we have a database taking athletes? Yes, we only have the athletes that have been selected or identified already as talent. These are the ones that are not in. Even Saskok itself as an athlete that is expected, and that also on the operating mechanism of the bootcamp program. And that's the basis on which we track the athletes. Should we be tracking secondary athletes? Yes, we think so. So, and we have already asked the CFIR to develop a system for us to track the secondary athletes. That is now promising, but not necessarily talented. So, maybe we should also track those. The issue you raised of the lady and how we to like, in the general of time, I will not be able to go into the mechanics of this, but what I can simply say to you is that we are basing this model because we're working on the blessing in front of the substitute model than white companies. And we need to have unintended consequences. Well, I think unintended consequences may be that the ticket price may increase. Like, I've got now for a good business. Many people are used to pay restaurant and my friend. Somehow they are willing to pay 105 for a national ticket. The price doubles to a regular ticket price. And you still see the stadium is full. So which means that if a regular price is 55 and we're being close, just even price percent is too minute to make a difference on the pocket of the thing. And even in rugby, it is totally material. And even the World Cup filled the fountain, people were going to buy cheap tickets that were costing 250. So it's possible that they can afford. So we don't think that it will have an international. What would be the mechanism of collection? Federations are entitled to take it, and boards like PSL so are entitled to take it. We will audit them in return for them to pay over. So that's how we see. That's how we see it for that. Anyways, the issue of the legislative amendment and whether we're interested in giving minister of power, I just think it's practically otherwise everybody accuses us, including parliament, when federations are not in a good state, they just think the minister is a lame duck minister. So if he's to be based or not disability, he may as well then have the power to intervene. That's what we think. simply have to clarify what is implied in the law and not. So we want to clarify that issue. Honorable Malokoma, the issue of the discrepancies with facilities, we do agree. I think this is a challenge for us as well. And taking that what I said about civil proof as an example, I think that we are working a lot more. I'm sure you know that with our multi-purpose board course, we have been prioritizing pushing this issue in the new communities as well. In schools as a way of bridging the gap. So when we have time, I will share with you the other issues in respect of this. And the issue of how do we really measure rugby, football, cricket in this regard, I think Sascock will answer that. I guess there are the people who might be with them. But I'm sure you know as well as I do, and we shall answer the chair's concern about football as well. Let it go, is that, look, we died with Sascock to deal with the effect of football. We think that the problem with Bafana Bafana, and shall we bring the previous commission out, take the problem out. You know the team called Madhuri, that team has not played a single match in the last 4 years. And the added is a team that must represent us at the Rio Olympics. And when they came now with some big grand plan and they wanted the 108 million from us to support them with this major grand plan of gliding Madhuri. I have to take a different decision. I have to say, there's no team there. And then I insist that they must not kill that team, not call it to camp. That team basically that protects us. What they must do is that Amajita, the under-20, they must then prepare for Amajita and give them money to have matches with Amajita in this sense. We don't want them experimenting. That they must take Sheikh Malawa, who at the junior level is the best coach we have, that they must take him coach Amajita, and Amajita must now have a program playing to what they do. And when they come to Rio, they must simply promote Amajita and make it Amajita. That's what we do. Then we'll have time to build Madhuki on a separate stage when we are not under pressure, when we have a 4 years in time to invest it. But always, it's not like our proposals are easily adopted. I think, but sometimes it's necessary to put one foot down and say, this we will not, particularly if they are insisting that they need money from us. I think that's the only time that we have leverage. We can say, in exchange for our money, this is what money can be. So, and I think that it is a first of its kind, and which somehow miraculously FIFA has not interpreted it in that area, you know, but we have done that with them. So we have bigger problems. SAFA is now 52 million in the red. We are trying to investigate them, even for the allegations of match fixing. I'm sure you know the issues. We did our best. Our minister even went for Zurich to meet FIFA. We told them that South Africa is not helping. In our country, people who do other for money, it's quite fraudulent. We must have socially found guilty and let them investigate. But they didn't want us to investigate. We asked us to investigate. The cops got to get a decision to investigate. They have a cooperation with the cops. They are threatening that if we go out of their way, FIFA in Zurich will suspend for Africa and we will not play any international matches and all sorts of things. You know, maybe one day this committee will be bold enough to say, yes, go ahead, suspend us. The Nigerians did this thing. The Nigerians, in order to reveal, they realized that in the Nigerian Football Association, there was a lot of corruption happening and a lot of wrong things that were happening. Government stepped in. And indeed, FIFA suspended Nigeria. There was a coup, the original suspended them for an 8-year period. But after things went to normality, they elected the new executive everything, they cut short the time frame to 6 years, and which allowed Nigeria to participate in the qualifier for the next camp. So what I'm saying is that maybe at some stage, we won't have to be bold enough to say, in order to deal with the rot, this threat that keeps on coming our way to say, we will be suspended, we must not be afraid of it. Maybe it's a blessing. Maru was playing in any team. It's not like Bafana Bafana performing any best. So I think maybe we must just accept that if that is the case, let us be suspended and let us use the time when we are on suspension to rebuild the football association. But it's not an easy decision. Without the breaking of parliament, we will be on shaky ground on that decision. So. Exactly. So I think this is what I'm saying. It will take time for me to come present to you in full about SAMA. With the previous committee, I did. I went to town about it and I presented in full and I took them to Honorable Musi was there. I think he knows very well. He even knows my views about this matter of SAMA. We even wanted a commission of inquiry appointed by the president for them. Because he felt that the allegations of match fixing were very clear. Because it gives us the impression that they are winning and they are not. The issue of WADA and IADA, are they the same thing? No, they are not. IADA is an international anti-doping arrangement. It's a loose arrangement of government. It's government alone. And it doesn't really govern. It started like this. It looks at new ways of catching cheats. We share cases, we support each other. We also some technical aspects to come share critical issues for governments to always have an upper arm. So in order for us, South Africa, we see it as a preparatory forum of governments for the real WADA. What's that WADA? It's two bodies there. It's public utilities, which are governments, and it's also the sport movement, which is the IOC, which is FIFA, and so on. And all of this, all the time, they don't want stronger laws to govern and do. They are always pushing for a weaker foot. So governments have not been talking in one voice. And we go there in prepared, and the sport movement caucuses first. And when they arrive there, they have a common position. You see, they fight for everything, including on increasing the budget. It was a big fight. So, and they are always divided like this. Governments on the one side and the sport boys on the other. So IADA is a good platform for us to prepare as governments, and it's a good caucus platform for us as governments to drive a common agenda. We agree on that agenda. On the state amendment, trust me, the amendments are ready and they have been taken to the state law advisors. They have been certified already, that's why we have now listed them with the leader of government, this man, the district president. We will wait for his program. We'll be advised by cabinet as to when he will approve the bill and every other thing. But of importance is that the state law advisors have not seen any conflict between us. And because in sports, you opt in. It's a voluntary thing. Like you, you have rights. But once you enter your property, if I'm saying enter at own risk, you lose those rights that nobody has. So you voluntarily. There's a doctrine at law called in voluntary injury and non city, which means that you voluntarily assume the risk of waiving your rights and accepting the risk. So when you do that, those rights are lost. So when you choose to play sports, you will know that you will have to be tested. So whatever a child for your another, you must know that when you play, you enter the game. So I think that is the whole issue behind it. The issue of gyms in rural communities, they are, and we are providing them. I think I must say this, Honorable Musi. Typically, you know, people do not want the things they already have. Like you say, the people here don't really want to see, they want the gym. But in reverse, people in rural areas like you, areas you call about in Kozumi Nagara, so they are mounted in their backyard. How many of them do I use and use local resources that they already have to do recreation and other things? They would rather demand that they want a stadium next to the mountain. And none of them will think about being mountaineers or climbing mountains and hiking and so on. So long and short of it is that, yes, we have to roll out a facility in rural areas. There is a small town I'm going to invite you, Honorable Musi, to Kenya. A small dorpy in Northern Cape. We are putting an outdoor gym, the recreational facilities and every other thing, and a mini pitch and a sand thing for beach football, right where they're supposed to be. And we're doing all of that. And I'll take you to all the small towns where we are rolling out these gyms and all of these things. And I can give you the setting. Even in Oswara, this gym is there, you know. So we are rolling them out all over in rural areas and we are providing the facilities there. Is the money enough? No, it's not. If it was, we have a huge revolution. If the 2 billion from the NIC, 15% comes, it will work. And let me now clarify that issue. 2 years ago when I came here, we said we were going to hire the 15% in the key component for social infrastructure. 15% of that billion was for sport. We achieved that. It was then researched and federalism then granted an issue to new regulation saying that it is research. It is, for 2 years. It has been researched successfully. And the practices are supposed to only be for sport. But they don't.
Now we are turning back. We are no longer asking for it to be removed. We are now saying we want it harvested. We want all the 15% in the league to be brought together into one big pool and create a new grant. So our new battle is for a new grant, no longer for infancy. Infancy has happened, but we also see that what we thought was going to be a solution is actually not a solution for us. That's why we are now asking for a newer solution, which is a consolidated grant. And that's what we are working on. Lastly, Chair, the issues that you raised, I've spoken about them. The issue of over 30 provinces, we summoned it, and we will also give you senior officials to go with you. And we'll also share with you our own audit and information on what we get and the other issues. And the issue of the amendments, we'll present the message of the leader of government business, give us the thing. Am I heavy on compliance versus settlements? Yes, Chair. This is what I said to the committee previously when I came. That when I came, the issues of compliance were very shaky. Everybody knows that. And I promise that I will use the first 3 years on attendance DG to address compliance matters. And we will then improve on performance. Have we begun now improving on performance? Significantly, yes. In the first year of DG, our indicators indicated that we had 44% progress rate in terms of our government indicators. That same jumped a year later to 55%. Right now we're sitting nicely, almost 80%. So by the end of my term, FDD, I can promise you that we'll achieve 100% performance. So are we getting strong on the performance? Yes, we are. Have we gotten better on compliance? Yes. On performance, yes. On netball, which is my last comment, Chair, netball, we will support it. It was not netball women who came to us to say they want a Premier League. It was us who went to them to say we want a Premier League for netball. And it was us who fought for the thing. Even between me and SAFCOP, we have agreed that we will fight with a lot of hard to make sure that they give them a one-shot grant so that we can capacitate, they can buy enough floors and everything, so that the league can also continue their activities across all provinces and so on. So we're going to fight for this one shot grant from the lottery, knowing that they say their policies don't fund professional leagues. But we think that there is a unique statement we made about that. And it being like this, we hope, Chair, and our turnaround times are 5 years. We hope that by the fifth year, you'll see a full-fledged Premier League of them. When we started, I'm sure those who have been in the committee, they laughed it off when I first presented that we want a Premier League for netball. It was never thought, anybody never thought that netball could be professional. So, but we did it, and but brutal fruit believed in us, and they sponsored this thing in the first year. They bought it off the shelf. It never happened. They didn't have a prototype. They just believed me that I'm saying this thing will work, and they took a leap of faith and it worked. So this committee, when I came then, Chair, the whole committee, said that the legacy, they would want us to focus on transformation, and they would want us to focus on soft sports, and then they would also want us to ensure that we help boxing South Africa turn around, and they also wanted a good audit outcome. These were the priorities the Chair gave me, the old Chair, the not one Chair, gave me as the mandate, the committee went into the department as a minimum program. Did we do well on what the committee said we should? Yes, we immediately, we had deferred the issue of transformation. We were not to start with it until 2016. But we immediately started once the committee said was focused on this thing. And the Chair said transformation is not negotiable, and we began. We did the pilot study, we issued the result before the committee term ended, and we raised the committee and every other thing. So if this committee too was to say to us, this is the minimum program that you must look at, we will see what the priority for this commission will be, and then we will drive that. So in essence, we have adopted the key programs as directed by the committee, and we focused on those ones, and we made sure that we can save on any other things, but not on those other priorities that we have taken. So if you were to draw similar priorities, we will look into them and see how we restructure our budget and how we will approach these things and look at that. So, but yes, I think that's the legacy of the committee. We welcome such proclamation. Thank you, Chair. I hope I spoken for the last time.
We would love to do a follow up study. We're still going to be with us till 5 years. So, most of us who have say such a lot about transformation, we need to rethink if we have started. We are not yet to see the transformation until that will give us information. We are still maintaining that we are not seeing transformation, especially in our rural areas. And then, as we have said, the members talking about the school sports. So those priorities of our former members, I'm suspecting that we will be followed suit if we are not adding on. Because with the sport, the first priority is transformation. And with those words, let me take the opportunity to thank you, DG. I've seen you didn't give some other members of your department to answer some other questions. Like now, I was worried when I was hearing that six provinces, they don't have budget. It's only three. And I was wondering, what budget is it? This budget not in the provinces. And this department, when we are giving so much to the provinces, are you giving to the only three provinces? But I'm suspecting, Honorable Minister, we all have over us questions, but the problem is the time. So when we are not around sitting us alone, we'll ask the committee whether can we not invite you again, because there are so many things I'm thinking that are still outstanding in your briefing. It was a very informative briefing, but we need to do a follow-up. With those words, honorable members, can't we sit and check when are we going to call the DG again? Because so many things, I'm suspecting that we need to have a follow-up questions. By saying that, if we are accepting my appeal, I will see you by agreeing, by showing of hands. I don't want to drive this ship alone.
Yeah, your camera. Okay, thank you, Chief. And thanks for that recommendation. Really, Mr. Nguyen, we need you. Before we are told our proposals are late. So maybe next week, after next week, somewhere there, just look at where you find it, so that you come back next week, yeah, so that you can come back. And then we can meet these things. When the errors, we know our intention. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mudeka. Honorable Bachman.
Chair, I would agree with that, especially when before our tickets are issued for the Commonwealth Games, we need to interrogate. But on a serious note, before the Commonwealth Games, it would be a very good time, because I think once we do get to know our portfolio a bit better, issues already like on the Commonwealth Games, we need to interrogate just before. So, thank you.
Honourable member, Honourable Frank, I'm suspecting you were playing soccer. Why are you striking?
No, this my first. It's our top 2 years. And I'm doing it better. Okay. So, that I don't play the top. And I thought it was 16, but if we were pushing, then it was 17. In our country. That the E will be expected to approve the vote. So I thought the various caucuses have to ensure that they can tell whatever is the one. Including asking questions.
My honorable, we choose the 8th July. They will be with us again. If you can look at we'll chip in the matters that are not yet raised with them. Thank you.
Can you take on? Can I ask a question?
I see the focus of asking questions has been reserved for members. I mean, I've been trying to raise my hand forever, and the focus seems to be the same. And there's been a question cast on a local government, and I thought we are here because we are representing local government, and there are things that I would want to really get clarity on. So, and we are closing this part that the DG was doing. I know I'm going to do a presentation, one or two suggestions
when we do the presentation, can one be allowed to touch a bit on some of the issues that I also want to be demystified out of the presentation, then deal with our presentation, or... But I think I cannot be a participant there. We cannot move from housing to do the presentation and not be given a chance to interact with all other presentations. So I feel a bit disadvantaged.
We took for granted that when you are presenting your presentation, you clarify and will ask you questions, like even myself, I've accused Osang that they are not reaping so much to municipalities in the meet. And we reserve that because if we are part of this committee, we are part to be, that when we are presenting, we clarify those questions that are directed to yourself. We didn't want to do that without you presenting, because when you are presenting, we'll be checking all the things that were raised by the members. But with due respect, I didn't even see your hands. I'm respecting you. We were doing like this. With that understanding, our apology. Now, we'll ask DG or whoever, but two ministers said to me, I'm not coming, I'm having other commitments. DG will be myself. That you must speak now about our budget vote 20, because it's going to be our first time that we're going to this public talking, debating. So we need to be armed, and we need also to check whether really do we need an extra budget for what? To you, DG. Just grilling you, we are doing your job.
Chair, our budget vote 20.
I'm suspecting that DG, I'm sure we are like myself, Mrs. Hite. If you can try to summarize, but summarize in order that we must understand what you are presenting. Don't forget that there are those visitors that will be rushing. But don't wire us.
Can I think you summarize in 4 minutes? Chair, the budget vote number 20, as I've indicated earlier, it isn't going to be a new budget altogether. It will be what we have already tabled and what has already been allocated. So what we will be doing necessarily is to show in the bigger divisions of this budget how we have allocated money to those programs I've just spoken about right now. So we will not necessarily be asking for any new money in the budget vote, nor will we be attempting to say that we are prioritizing at this stage, unless the committee directs otherwise. But from where we are sitting, we have done the allocations already. Secondly, the budget we are presenting now is a budget that we are already implementing, already rolling out, because it had to be done earlier, but it was done by the outgoing committee. We tabled, we did everything, and now, because there is a new parliament, presidency agreed with the former speaker that there would be fresh tabling of the budget and there would be fresh inputs and so on. And we have a window of opportunity, if at all it is necessary, to shift anything. And this is in a normal budget adjustment process. In September to do such a review if at all necessary. However, what we think now would be the greatest key focus for us is that immediately after our budget vote is tabled and if so appropriated, that we begin work on the 2015-2016 ATP as well as budget inputs. And then the committee can direct us as to how we're going to change, because the biggest difficulty now is that with entities like SAIDS and both in South Africa, as well as ourselves, having allocated money and having time and the programs, is going to be a tall order to change most of them, particularly because various commitments have already gone through on the current budget as is. So that's what we would be doing, and that's what the breakdown and attachment to programs as is now currently is showing in the bigger divisions as such. and even as you know, we don't have much to play around with. The 525 already goes to municipalities, and Treasury already tells us how much must go to which municipality, to each province. And secondly, the Federation's transfers is what we can play around with, as well as the issue of our own services budget. So that's about it. I need to reflect exactly those programs I spoke about.
I was asking the content advice. The government has done so many things which are very good. I wanted to check on the members. What are you saying about what Ubiji is saying to us? Do we want him to present it, or do we want us to go and read and do what? I've heard that the budget was presented, and then if we need to do any addition, still have a window period, and that window period, it will depend on this day that we are taking to a budget. Are we saying that we will take a budget without presentation and then coming back? I need a guidance. That's why I was calling the content advisor, but they are the most important people who are going to debate to tell our sport people out there what is it that has been given, what is it that we want that must be re-looked. I'm something that that's the time for that. May I have a guidance from you, honorable members?
Thanks, Chair. I think in all fairness to the Commission, even to the budget itself, I think we'll need an opportunity to engage it. I don't think 4 minutes of summary would be enough. What we can do is to look at how best to use the limited time we have. But I think it's important we go through that document. It's the first budget that the members of the committee have to engage in. And while you're aware of the time limitations, I think we must do justice to give them to all by having enough time to intervene.
And we got Tuesday. From where I'm sitting, I think we must really study as individual poker or as members and ensure that we are ready for Tuesday. Because it's just that the DG didn't go to the specific in terms of the budget, but I think that it's part of ATP as well. It has that we have to grab the time. But my tip is that we need to be prepared to go through fine court in the case of the budget itself, in preparation for Tuesday.
I'm taking both views with my view that I must present. I'm suspecting we do have guests that we invited. And maybe, I don't know whether they were not aware that today, the day that department is going to table a budget vote point. So if we can engage on that, I don't have any I do have a problem of not tabling because we are the new committee. But this question of time, sometimes we'll be rushing and we'll suffer. So I want a clear guidance. Maybe these visitors of our good self, they come to present. I was saying that when they are presenting and then Osasco coming in, Osaka, they will take in from what even you have put. But if they've been part of what the last committee was doing, let me hear from honorable members. Just now you have different views. Guide me before I take a radical decision, which is available sometimes. It's a radical economic change.
Thank you, Chair. I think the previous two figures have shown that we need to take the meet with us, go study, and Tuesday we will come well prepared. I think that's radicalness in here. And then we can give the other teams to say something.
I'm looking at Tuesday's agenda. It's going to be deliberation. Maybe we can take that as we've done today, that the whole morning DG, if you'll be available, taking us through the budget and then we deliberate on it. Is it not right to support you, honorable members? We, with due respect, we are appealing that the department must come on Tuesday in order that we must do it justice. With our visitors, we have come there with your manners and full from how they where gold is. We are getting gold. I don't know, Spala, whether are you agreeing with us, whether you don't have any problem, even if Tuesday they are not going to be with us. I don't want to make a mistake again, neglecting you as if you are not part of this meeting of today. We are taking decision for the meeting of Tuesday, where you were not invited on the meeting of Tuesday. Maybe you were going to have an interest on what today we are going to be getting from the department. Let me give you the opportunity. With the committee, we are fine with the Tuesday arrangement.
Okay. Noted, thanks. Can I debrief was to contribute towards the budget vote today. That is why we are here.
That's fine.
Yes. Okay. So if the committee said Tuesday, then it throws us out, because unless we'll be given an opportunity to make our presentation, then the committee can deliberate on it on Tuesday in our absence.
It's not normal to deal with the presentation of any stakeholders in their absence. I need a guidance, because they are friends with the people's money. That's the problem that I was foreseeing, that they are coming to be part of the budget vote, but we can say they must present whatever they've come to present, and I'm happy about that, but that portion of discussing their budget was they not with us. What does that mean?
Thanks, Chairperson. I think if they can do the presentation for now, and the rest will see it, although they're not going to put some input while they are away, because of rushing their time, their flight, or so.
So, your flights are at 19 hours. I don't think you do have a problem.
No, sir. We're staying tomorrow, then. So, I think that's what we were behind by today. So, tonight we are fine.
Honourable member, just give us a call to brief us before lunch. Isn't it? They are saying we can try to take something and put next to you, and then we must have a working lunch. Do you agree on that? Okay, let's do that. We immediately fetch. Hey,
Thank you. Yes, I'm not going to be good. What is
my? I'm so good.